United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned.
Let's go! Hey, good morning and welcome to Tracing Friends here on the 18th of August, 2014. It is 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock here on Monday morning. Hope you had a great weekend. The weather was really, really nice. And I got Ben and Sticks in the studio with me. Jeff is out. And he and Alabama got together yesterday, I think it was, and had seafood and started a game.
Started a ball.
Now they did no they were flashing gang signs on the internet.
I didn't see that.
Yes, Alabama and Jeff's down in Atlanta, and he met up with Alabama, and they went out to have lunch.
Huh.
You know I don't reimburse for receipts, right?
Really?
No.
Because I was going to stop in and see Pianchi when we do our Western Swing. Because I thought you'd buy us a couple of nice steaks in St. Louis.
No.
Oh wow, you St. Louis, you got to go for barbecue there.
Yeah, it's barbecue in St. Louis.
Don't go for steaks. Yeah. Omaha, you go for steaks.
Okay.
Yeah. But they went out. They met up for lunch, took pictures, and sent them to me. They were flashing gang signs, and I told them they started a gang. I think they're going to try to take a coup, knock me out.
Why knock you out?
I don't know.
They want to start a coup on to go to D.C.
That's something different. We'll get there. We have Mr. Park first.
Okay.
Don't go there yet because we're going to have Happy Joy Joy. We got Mr. Moon Park in the studio with us, and he is going to be talking with us about something soft. We're going to start out light and soft because I'm quite sure before the day is out, we're going to crescendo because I'm going to lose a gasket as soon as Mr. Park leaves out. But I know that he's into martial arts, so I have to be Rufal. Calm down, even temper. Local call, your mic is on. Is there something I need to tell you?
Yeah.
What?
I wonder if you're going to talk about the incident.
Call it 10 o'clock, Steve.
So, in other words...
right now, you're not listening to the radio, are you? Hang up the phone. Hang up.
Was,
no, you weren't listening. You didn't listen to the radio. We're sitting here. You listen to the radio. You ain't listening to the radio. I said Mr. Park was in studio with me. Mr. Park is martial arts. We're going to talk about something at the library, and you come in talking about, are we going to talk about Ferguson? You're not listening to the radio. Hang up the phone and call back.
I wasn't paying no attention.
That's a problem. Hang up. Okay. Good morning. I did the ALS challenge this weekend.
The what?
ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease.
What's that? What did that entail?
A bucket of cold ice.
Okay.
Cold ice water.
All right. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I did that Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
I got challenged by Dave Beatrice. Dave Beatrice challenged me, Tim Ryan, to the ice bucket challenge for ALS. And Mr. Park and he's in studio with me. Good morning, Mr. Park.
Hi, good morning.
How are you?
Oh, good, thank you. It's a beautiful day today.
It is. Mr. Park and I are in Rotary together, and he is one of my Rotary brothers. And he and I have a mutual friend, which was John Conti.
Yeah.
And we saw John really suffer with ALS.
Absolutely.
That was, and once you see it and once you love somebody with it, it really gives you an affinity to do better for other people. And so I was glad that, you know, Beatrice and I don't always agree.
Mm-hmm.
But I was really happy to accept the challenge to for ALS. So Saturday afternoon, I went to the Republican picnic. I put on my Republican shirt. I had my bucket of ice. I went out and got me a bag of ice. We filled it up. And I they poured ice water on my head, and we sent money over to ALS.
Hmm.
And then I challenged Matt Borges, chairman of the ORP, and Doug and Mary Ann from K105.
Okay.
And I think, I did someone else. Oh, Congressman Bill Johnson.
Okay.
And Congressman Bill Johnson, he did his on yesterday.
Yeah, that's probably
pretty cool.
One of the craziest things you ever did, but one of the smartest things Dan Beatrice ever did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Governor Kasich did it yesterday. It's for a good cause, and I'm going to pull Mr. Parkinson. We're going to talk about the library, but I want to say this in reference to what I'm seeing, and I had to post this on the internet. Someone was saying, you know, people need to get over this, and you know, and just give. And you know, there are a lot of us who do a lot of philanthropic stuff all the time. We never tell anybody. We care about what's going on in our community, and we don't make a big statement about it. But what right now, the way the country is, the way things are going right now, the country needs something to bring us together in unity for a good cause. And what this challenge is showing is that they are very, very good Americans who really care about other people and that they love one another and they want to see people do good.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have Democrat, Republican, white, black, old, young, you know, country, rural, suburban. Everybody is a part of this ALS, the ALS challenge.
Yeah.
And it's bringing us together, and it's not a catastrophe.
ALS does not discriminate, though.
No, and it doesn't.
I learned something this weekend, because we also went to a charity event.
What's that?
We went to the race at Mid-Ohio, which 100% of the proceeds of that went to the Nationwide Children's Hospital in Columbus.
Oh, wow.
And their mission is that nobody is turned away for the inability to pay, and they treat 1 million children a year, they said.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
That's a lot.
Yeah. I mean, I was amazed. Mm.
That puts Obamacare to shame.
But I was saying what this has done, because there's a flash behind it. People are like, well, why do? And what's good about this to me is right now in America, the world is on fire. The people are not getting along. You got rioting in Ferguson, Missouri. You got stuff going on in Washington, and you've got people from all cross sections coming together for a good cause to do good things for good people. And we need to embrace that and do that more often, because it shows that Americans can work together and get along. It really does.
Mm-hmm.
If we want to.
Yes.
So why can't we do it more often? So I'll get back to that later. Mr. Park is in the studio with me, and Moon Park, and I call you Mr. Park.
Don't call me Moon.
You've never heard me call you Moon.
Okay.
Have you ever heard me call you Moon?
No.
See, I'm not going to do that. You know why? I don't know. I think it's because,
No, you can't say Moon. That's okay.
I ain't called you. I'm not going to start today. I've known you 5, 6, 7 years. You want me to call you Mr. Park? I'm calling you Moon. But I have Mr. Moon Park in studio with me, or Master Park, as a matter of fact. And Master Park has the Master Park over on 224.
Yeah.
And he's partnered with the library for a program on tigers and eagles. It's the power of life, education, discipline, duty, responsibility, and commitment. And tell us a little bit about you, Mr. Park. Tell us where you come from. You know, a lot of people know who you are. They see Master Park. They see the commercials. They see the advertising. Their kids go there. But they don't necessarily know a lot about you.
You know, actually, I came up with your old library program. And this is all about community. And I love this country. And I'm not really talking about my business or anything. But anyway, I came from Korea. And most of all, I would like to express to and this community, and I prepare this one. And I sincerely thank you to Korean War veterans and their families and all of you, all American, and in this country. Without your sacrifices and your help, and Korea wouldn't be like currently, and like maybe North Korea. I wouldn't be here. Really appreciate. And this America's power, strength, will change all of the world.
You know, you have to come back for that conversation.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a conversation that we have to have for extended.
Right.
Because we don't understand how
other people, country people can see this America.
Yes.
It is unbelievable. Like today, coming to this radio station, I came from Korea speaking in English. It is unbelievable. Thank you for inviting me.
He came to the radio station in a suit, like he's going to be on TV.
And he's a professional.
This is radio. Let me ask you, why do you look like you just got rolled out of bed with your pajamas on?
Because I did.
He's just checking.
No, but I came up with respect. I think that's not only showing
go ahead.
Everything. That's why I wear this suit. Yeah.
Well, he came in here with respect because he got a tie on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
There's no one in this building with a tie on, including myself.
Crazy. Yeah. I'm sorry. Sure. You asked me about the question one more time. Repeat for me.
My question is, who's Mr. Park?
Oh, I gave you some.
You gave me. He gave me a resume.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I know Mr. Park. Mr. Park, you got a mechanical engineering degree?
Yeah. Actually, I came from this country and this valley, 1984. So I've been here for 30 years. And I love these places and this country, this community.
Yes, you do.
Absolutely.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
Unbelievable.
Yes, you do. And you care about what's going on around here. Very much
and
so.
I gave you some information. I grew up after Korean War. I'm not going to tell you how old I am. And
he ain't that old.
But anyway, I put so much effort, education and military training and martial arts and many things. And with experience, I came to this country to have a better future. And my hope is still a successful life, business, and helping other people and the world. That's my goal.
Let's talk about what you're here for today.
Yes.
You have partnered with the library,
yes.
And you're going to be holding sessions on Thursday, August 21st, which is going to be, Thursday?
Yes.
This upcoming Thursday. And it's from at 10 a.m. It's from 10 until 11 o'clock at the Poland Library. Downstairs, if you go right in the back door, you can go right around and you can find it right there. And tell us a little bit, what are you going to be doing there?
Okay, the actually program subject of tigers and eagles. And information is about power of life, education, discipline, duty, and responsibility and commitment. Oh, this is heavy stuff.
I see. Right now, we need to do a whole lot of classes like this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Everybody needs it.
Yeah. Every day I'm learning from many people. And actually, before doing anything, this is a library, public library of Youngstown and Maumee County is doing for community. And every Tuesday, I've been attending this program for 3 years as a student and to learn something. The program is leadership program and over the book clubs. And there are many the instructors, they are helping this program. And currently, the book is Simon Sinek. Name is Leaders Eat Last. And instructor is George Landis. And also, we learned different programs, John Maxwell's, and many books. And that's related all the information. And I decided to present this program. So help of public library I'm doing. And what is tigers and eagles? And tigers, eagles, is they have ability to live better and as a top of the line all in the world. And people, they do not understand who they are. But these tigers and eagles means I can say all Americans living in America, and you are the tigers and eagles. They don't know who you are, and I try to work with you and who you are. That's the reason I'm doing this one. And a quote, the John Maxwell spoke inside, and up to 85% of success in life is due to attitude, while only 15% is due to ability. That means everybody is possible to have successful life and depend on how they decide what they're going to do.
I'm a big social media person.
Yes.
And I was reading something over the weekend, and it was talking about attitude versus altitude.
Yeah.
And what I'm finding is, you know, people have lost their drive. You know, I look at people who come here from other countries like yourself, and you come here and you're driven. You're driven to succeed. And so I'm quite sure, you know, walking through life, because everybody has life.
Yeah.
It's not always a bowl of cherries. It's not always sweet. It's not always easy. And so we overcome, you know, we overcome so many obstacles.
Yeah.
And I like Ninja Warriors. And I look at the obstacle course in front of us.
Yeah.
And you see those athletes, they train to go through the obstacles, and they fall down, and they get back up, and they continue on. And in life, we have to learn how to do that, because life is an obstacle course. You got highs and lows, you got you know, ups and downs, and things are tough.
Yeah.
But you got to have the drive to and the will to finish the race.
Yeah.
And I've read Leaders. I've actually read Leaders Eat Last. Wonderful book.
Oh yes, absolutely.
I love that book. I love the story of it. Because I think that what's happening is we're not teaching young people. We're not teaching people how to lead.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're not teaching people how to lead. Because leading take, and when I look at tigers and eagles, and if you look at the animals, and I don't know where you're going to go with this, but when you look at the animals, how they have a hierarchy system within their own structure. And that, you know, they push forward. They know when to hunt and when to rest and when to graze and when to move. And we don't always have that kind of respect for one another. And there's conflicts,
yeah,
but there's not always respect. And you look at the, you know, discipline. And discipline to me, and we, I think we talked about this on Friday or Thursday, discipline is the most important thing a person can have. Because if you're not self-disciplined, you really have nothing. You can't control your emotions. You can't control what's going on. You can't think.
Yes. I read, you know, the story, and the eagles lived with chicken and didn't have chance to actually have seen
who the eagle is, this baby eagle. And eventually he saw even some eagles flying over the sky, and but never and could fly soar like big eagles, and eventually died as a chicken. So, and even eagles lived with eagles. Actually, they trained. And
wow.
Other eagles dropped the baby eagles, and they can fly. And even lions and tigers, they trained the baby young cubs. And same thing, if anybody trained in that atmosphere, and they will become tigers and eagles. That's the program. And as I told you this story about people, they are believing who they are. And that's really important. Discipline is coming from the training. And everything comes from training. And it's not, nobody's giving you the naturally. So we have to make that working together and training.
How important is education and knowledge? And when I say education, I don't mean necessarily formal education, but information and knowledge.
But I think that most of all, in this country, everybody has opportunity to have better education. I'm sorry about telling you this story, but my family has maybe 20 physicians, doctors, and PhDs. And everybody that tried to achieve the higher formal education, that is connected directly to success of life. And anyway, same thing when I grew up, and this is a different story. When I grew up in Korea, and every parents and everybody, actually, they invested everything possible. If they have anything, they sold everything, sell everything to educate their children. And that's the only goal we can achieve. And maybe different culture. I'm actually talking to and about the culture in the book. But depending on how we set our culture, and we can improve. So we have to have the better culture, helping each other, better education. Excuse me.
And it is. I agree. You know, I believe in teamwork. I believe in education. I believe in information. Because without it, we fail. And you're going to be with me for another 10 minutes, but I'm going to link this just for a moment to Ferguson and what's going on there, because for the lack of information and the lack of communication and the lack of education,
they're
burning down their community, and they don't know how to fight because no one's taught them how to fight with their mind and not with their brawn. You teach martial arts, and I hear what Bill Schroeder said. I think he said he took one of your classes in college. He just wrote that on Facebook.
Oh, really? Yeah.
And it has to happen. There's a discipline. There's a knowledge that comes from, you know, really getting an education and knowing how to move the system. Because if you don't know how to move the system, you just get frustrated.
Yes. And many people are thinking, and I'm doing martial arts, that means I'm a good fighter or physically fighting all the time. But I never even think about teaching for fighting for the people. This is all about part of education and helping the people, empowering their lives. And, for example, all of my students, more than 90% of our students, they are getting all straight A's. And how they can receive better grades. And you can see, I'm speaking still broken English. My daughter is telling me that don't say too much. And it doesn't make any sense. And don't tell anybody. Just yourself. But anyway, you know, I'm doing this one because more than 90%, anybody comes to our place, I put everything. For example, some of the children, they didn't receive good grades. This is one story, real story. I have hundreds of stories. Actually, I'm writing books and to help other people. And one young man joined, he was seventh grade, and single mom, and I'm not going to give you all the information, and having hard time, and financially, all different ways. And actually, he was bullied at school and didn't go to school. And even neighbors bullied this young man. And I worked with him and talked to him, and he didn't have any his goal, future goal. But I said his goal, working together. And he finished a few years ago as a valedictorian. and local schools. And he got scholarship, he went to school. And there's many success stories. So do not give up and keep challenging. And everybody has opportunity, like tigers and eagles.
Stay hungry.
Yeah.
That's the key.
Stay driven, yeah.
Stay hungry.
Yeah. The program is going to be up this upcoming Thursday at 10 o'clock at the Fulton Library. If you want to get more information, you can call the development office. And that number is 330-740-6086. I'm going to take a break right now. When I come back, we'll have Mr. Park with us still. We'll see you on the other side of my break.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Concerned about your health? Confused about the amount of prescription drugs you are taking? Wondering which vitamins to take? Call Dr. Matt Mason, board-certified wellness physician as well as a chiropractor at Mason Wellness Center. Dr. Mason combines nutritional therapy, functional medicine, and chiropractic services to keep people healthy and get those of you that are ill feeling better faster. Mason Wellness Center is located on Layer Road in Warren, Ohio. To make an appointment or to receive additional info, call our office at 330-219-6450.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax.
Fit family. Unique. Individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
I'm Julio Flores with your headline news. U.S. Marshals arrested a man wanted for murder and robbery in Youngstown. 36-year-old Wesley Blackshear was apprehended on the south side of Youngstown at about 12:30 p.m. Sunday. Blackshear was indicted on Thursday for the shooting death of Brendan Moore. 34-year-old Moore was found in a car outside the Big Apple supermarket on McGuffey Road in May. He suffered a fatal gunshot wound to the head. If convicted of murder, Blackshear could be sentenced to life in prison. Steubenville High School is back in the spotlight after a decision to allow a convicted rapist and registered sex offender back on the school football team. Malik Richmond played for Steubenville High School in a scrimmage on Tuesday. Richmond received a one-year sentence in March of 2013 for raping a West Virginia girl following an alcohol-fueled party. For WSOM News, I'm Julio Flores.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll-free at 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com.
Hey, good morning, and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. It's 32 minutes after the hour at 9 o'clock. And we're listening to War. I, you know, they did a lot of message music in the 60s, and it looks like the 60s have come back to 2000, the millennium, because we're here, and we need to be singing these kinds of songs again instead of the crazy stuff they're singing, because they need to calm down. Folks need to just calm down and take a break. I've got Mr. Moon Park in studio with me, and he has partnered with the library. He's doing a program called Tigers and Eagles, The Power of Life, Education, Discipline, Duty, Responsibility, and Commitment, How You Can Change and Build a Better Life for Yourself and Your Family. It's going to be this upcoming Thursday, the 21st of August. It is August, right?
Yes,
it is. From 10 a.m. until 11 a.m. at the Poland Library. And if you want more information, you can call 330-740-6086. Good morning, South Carolina. How are you? He was on. He put the button. He ain't talking.
No, I'm doing great. I'm doing great. I had to mute it.
Yeah, because you were making noise.
What I was telling you, though, a while back was the reason why Ben looks that way is because he's got a face made for radio.
Ooh.
Well, you know, the problem that I have right now is Styx has met you, now Jeff has met Alabama, and I know nobody. I don't understand.
Well, because you stay home too much. You don't ever
travel
nowhere.
But the show's called Tracy and Friends. Everybody knows
that. I'll tell you what.
I don't know anybody.
We will make a NASCAR trip to Darlington. You can meet South Carolina and not Sublime Mike.
Why do we have to do a NASCAR trip? Why can't we just do a road trip?
Because, Tracy, you know, that's it. What are you going to go to the beach?
You need to broaden your horizons.
Yeah.
You need to broaden your horizons. You need to experience other cultures.
Hey Tracy, there's nothing like getting a South Carolina tan. Trust me.
NASCAR's another
sun
culture.
Listen. Yeah. No, wait a minute. I got it. I got a tan.
Yeah, but
you got to have a South Carolina tan.
And a NASCAR race is a 4-day tailgate. I'm telling you, you've never experienced anything like it until you've gone for the full experience for a NASCAR race, camping. Right, Sal?
Yeah.
Whoa, Tracy, hold up. Did you say camping? No. I'm a city dweller.
You've
we don't camp.
You've seen the Taj Mahal.
I'm a city dweller.
Tracy.
I don't camp. Yes.
You have not eaten until you've eaten at the infield in Darlington.
That's right.
Trust me.
Oh, man.
I'm going back to
you're
Mr.
talking about some good cooking. Them folks can cook. Anything
y'all cook
and everything
in the back
you want.
Of a trailer.
What they got to do with anything?
A lot. Well, listen, I'm going to go back and finish up with Mr. Park because you know that when we actually, we're drinking it really light right now. And you know that this is going to take off shortly, right?
Mm-hmm.
See, I just want you guys to know that because
this is like a powder keg. You know?
Yeah,
the fuse has been lit.
That's absolutely.
It's
absolutely,
get
and I'm going to blow a stack before it's over with today. Can you see it?
I can feel it.
Absolutely. When I get done talking about Governor Perry down in Texas,
uh-huh.
And talking about what's it called, Ferguson, Missouri,
because
I wasn't going to talk about Ferguson until last night because they came down there. They said that they had a peace offering and then they blew up the place last night. So I got issues. I'm gonna try to woo-saw, but it's not gonna work. So Mr. Park is here and he's all about tigers and eagles and the power of life. And it says education, information, discipline, duty, responsibility, and commitment. And I'm gonna try to stay right there in the education, discipline, duty. Responsibility and commitment, right there.
That's
because
the discipline part of that you could
use. Right there.
Yeah,
I need
you,
that.
You need that.
I know.
You need that.
I know. I need that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm working on it.
Right.
But I don't know if I'm going to be able to hold on to it much longer.
Maybe you should take Mr. Park's class then.
It's on from 10 a.m. until 11 a.m. Where do you think I am Monday through Friday on Thursday when I have no one to cover for me?
I'm sure he has classes at his studio.
But not with the library. The library?
Yeah, but
this is free.
He has more than just the library. He can take his class. Am I correct?
Yeah,
Mr. Park?
Yeah.
See,
I have many classes going on all the time.
Yeah.
And
there.
I'm working actually 25-8.
No,
380 days all year round.
Yeah, so you have no excuses now. Yeah.
Shut up, Ben. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. Yes,
three days at Fit Family and 2 days at Mr. Park's.
There you go.
You guys are messing up.
You'd be in really good.
Y'all.
Stanley would be very happy with you then, because you would be very, very fit.
Don't I look like I'm getting fit?
Yes, you do.
Don't you see me over here eating cantaloupe?
Yeah, I know.
There are no donuts in here. There's no potato chips in here anymore. Do you realize?
I forgot your mom's snacks. They're at home.
No, you're taking too much seriously about discipline. And all about
you
the discipline starting from first relax and breathe properly and control your body and then release stress. Everything comes from there. And building yourself, that's coming from all naturally. And you are thinking maybe too hard way and suddenly joining like military basic training or something. That's not. The building yourself as you are. And that's the training. Don't take too seriously, but from the bottom, and you're building yourself.
Now you know my secret.
It's not working. It's not working, Ben. It's not working for you. It's working for Mr. Park.
And also the other one, I have to have a story. And actually, you know, that all around the country, they are doing an ALS ice bucket pouring event.
Yes.
And actually, you know, the John Conta, he studied. I had meeting all the time, and actually himself was attending class with his friends, yes, and for a few years, and I love him, he's so nice person, and to do something at this event, and I talked to actually ALS Association, and I'm going to do something, relate to martial arts and fundraising event, so anybody listening,
let me know.
Yeah, sure.
You'll come back on top. We'll come back up.
Yeah, sure.
And actually, if you're going to do that, we'll bring ALS on, the foundation on.
Yeah, sure.
So
and I talked to them already, and I'm going to put this program all over the country, same as some of the people, they cannot do this one, ice bucket pouring this one, water bucketing, but we'll do different programs.
We need to do that. And the reason why I say that, I'm watching everyone really talk about ALS, and everybody's doing the ice bucket challenge, but I'm not quite sure if everybody really knows what ALS is all about.
Yeah. Lou Gehrig's.
Yeah, but nobody. I mean, they know, they've heard of it.
It's a neurological disease, correct?
Yes, and it's a sclerosis. But the issue is, I will say it this way. I heard about MS until I got it. And then when you get it, it's like, oh, that's what that is.
Mm-hmm.
Or ALS until you see it.
Mm-hmm.
Watching my friend John go through what he went through. I mean, I watched him go from a vibrant, active, over-the-top personality and businessman to a man that he couldn't really pick up a fork for himself. And to watch that and to see the decay. And he's gone now. And I miss him so much.
And they don't know the cause. They just know the symptoms.
Yeah. I miss him so much. The attitude that he had during the whole thing was that of an eagle, because he always soared.
Yeah, even he was having a hard time.
Yes.
Actually, he tripped to Guatemala.
Yes, he did.
To help
other people.
Real people.
Yes, he did. While he was sick at the end of his life.
After he came back, and a few weeks later, he passed away.
Yes, yes, I remember that. And that's something to learn from. That's somebody that doesn't give up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have songs called Heart of the Tiger or Eye of the Tiger. Is an Eye of the Tiger? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you look at what you're talking about with eagles and tigers and the power of life, there's a lesson to be learned from what's going on here. It really is.
Yeah. And the other one is I have to share some information.
Sure.
And you know that I've been living in this country for 30 years, and I had many difficult times in all those days, and I could survive, I could continue because of the God. And without prayer, and without help, many people, I couldn't survive. For example, in the class, I'm not teaching all the fighting. This is all about life. And one boy suddenly in the class, I'm not going to say his name, anything, but he was a teenager. And suddenly in the class, he had a seizure. And I couldn't do, I don't know what happened. He never had before. I didn't see it. He attended for a couple of years. And then one lady actually they were a nurse and she was helping. And anyway, he went to hospital and ambulance took him. And in the evening, I found out he had seizure recently and a couple of times. And I found out his family had some problems. A young
wow.
young boy having really hard time. So he had bad dream and seizures. And I went to go home, and then I couldn't sleep at night because it is unbelievable this young man is suffering so much. And I went back early in the morning around 7 o'clock, and I talked to his father. Can I talk to him? Because they trust me. And I talked to your son and in person and a different room. And then I started talking with him. You know, I had a difficult time, many experiences. And I'll talk to you. I'm not going to tell anybody, but tell me what happened. And then he saw something was going on. And that dream came all the time, had seizure, and within maybe a couple of weeks. And I told him, and, you know, do you go to church? And he said, yes. And why don't you do this one? And they were leaving that morning. As soon as you leave this place, hospital, go to your pastor and pray together. And since that, he never had a seizure. And
wow.
His parents came to me and thank you. I didn't do anything, but people they do not know, it is unbelievable. Same thing to me and everybody. And without God, you cannot do anything.
No, we cannot.
Absolutely.
Absolutely
and even,
not.
And even Ferguson, whatever, if we pray together and forgive each other, that solve all the problems.
Yeah, it would.
This is the greatest country in the world.
Yes,
my pastor said it all the time. And the closest to get to heaven in the world is in this country. No other places. And we have to make better country. This,
yeah,
we have to make like heaven, this place.
We got to love God
absolutely.
And put him first.
We can make.
And we put love
we'll
God
people.
And put him first, and then love people as we love ourselves and treat them with respect and dignity.
Absolutely.
We can do anything. Mr. Moon Park,
yeah.
Thank you for coming in. You'll come back again.
You.
We've been trying to do this for quite some time.
You
got to come back again. He has partnered with the Friends of the Library, and he's going to be doing a class. And it's this Thursday. It's free and open to the public. Do they have to call and reserve or they can just show up?
No, they can come, just show up.
It's 10 o'clock in the morning. It's a polling library in the meeting room right downstairs by Kravitz Bake. Kravitz, you can grab you a good corned beef or a cup of coffee and go over into the meeting room. They have Danishes there.
Mm. And also they're providing free coffee.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't get free coffee when I go
oh,
to the
really?
Library.
I don't know.
They always charge me.
No, I mean, not library,
yeah.
This program. Yeah.
I
don't know.
That.
I have to
and the Friends of Life, they do a lot of development classes. They do a lot of things. You were talking about the book club series that they're doing
right.
there with George Landis, Greg Smith.
Right, yeah.
I've gotten to several of them. I've learned a lot from a
yeah.
lot of them.
Yeah.
It's something that you need to – it can enlighten your mind. You get to brainstorm with other people, share with other people.
Yeah.
And this right here is going to be a wonderful program, and it's going to be about the power of life. You know, you got to really – we got to take hold of what we're doing.
Yeah.
And
every Tuesday in the morning, same Poland Library
yes.
at 8 o'clock till 9
yes.
a.m. So anybody can join this program, becoming a better person and better leader. And please join. There's no fees involved, they're free. And also provide even coffee.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. And also one thing, the last one. And if anybody having a hard time, and this is my mission and to this community, this country, so anybody interested in and having a hard time, something, if you need, if I can help, even martial arts training, I can train them, I can help them.
We're going to come back and do that.
Yeah, thank
and
you.
we're going to make sure that happens. So you have to tie
yeah.
me down.
Yeah.
We're going to make sure that happens.
Thank you for inviting me.
Because we have, there's some things that we can do because the community needs to hear.
Yeah.
They really do. I'm gone. I'll be back. I'm going to take a break, and when we come back, I'm going to, you know, me, Ben, and Sticks will probably blow off the next 10 minutes, and then we will probably, at 10 o'clock, I promise you, we're going to go a little bit deeper into a lot of cerebral conversation.
Dig your foxholes now.
Yes. Yes. Yes, you're going to need it.
Get in your bunker.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be right back.
With today's Safe Money Moment, here's your host of Legacy Financial Strategies, David Gallner.
Did you know that over $10 billion in Social Security benefits go unclaimed each year? I can help you plan for a successful retirement and make sure you receive everything you're entitled to from Social Security. Call me now at 800-264-4963. That's 800-264-4963. It might be easier for you just to remember our website, where you can learn so much more about us and hear archived radio and television shows and more. Go to leavealegacy.com. That's www.leavealegacy.com.
And make sure to tune in Legacy Financial Strategies with David Gallner and Sherry Marini, Thursday mornings at 9, right here on WPIC.
You're a good driver. You grew up with those drive defensively public service announcements, and that's how you drive. At Crab Insurance Agency, we offer discounts for mature drivers who drive safely through Grange Insurance. We figure if you've been around the block a few times and done it safely, you deserve a break. Talk to Crab Insurance, your Grange independent agent, about these and other Grange discounts. 330-332-1586.
Products not available in all states.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Hey, I'm back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. It's 18 minutes after, I'm sorry, no, it is, today is the 18th of August, and it's 50 minutes after the hour at 9 o'clock. I got a few minutes before I go to the top of the hour break. Hey, Eric, good morning, how are you?
Hey, Tracy, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
Yeah, I saw your little ice bucket challenge over the weekend.
I had fun with that.
Yeah, I see.
Couldn't you tell?
Mm-hmm.
My facial expression was priceless.
Yeah. hey, Tracy.
Yeah.
I'm telling everybody right now. Look,
what?
I'll pay the money. I will donate. But don't expect to see me doing the ice bucket challenge. Okay. I had enough of that when I was in the Corps. Thank you.
Oh.
I'm not doing
it. You had to, you know, Kobe Bryant. He got into an ice bath. That was not the, you know, he missed the whole point. Governor Kasich poured it was really funny watching how people did this. Governor Kasich had a little tiny bowl, and he put a bowl on top of his head. And let me say, and he wasn't feeling well. He actually had a cold. He was challenged, and he wanted to be a part of it. Bill Johnson had on tennis shoes, blue jeans, shirt, and, you know, he was dressed.
Mm-hmm.
He got a bucket poured on him. My mom said I looked like a monk because I was fully clothed because I was at a Republican picnic. Everybody just has their own style of doing this. You know, Oprah Winfrey, you know, everybody, people sat down, people stood up. I told them on Facebook, it was better than watching the telethon.
I really wish I would have known this was going to happen. I would have invested in some ice makers.
Oh, yeah, because you know, they said the ice company made money.
Oh.
Do you realize ALS at this juncture has made more than $10 million, which is 9 times more than what they made to this point last year?
God bless.
Just
wow.
By this LAS, just by the challenge.
That's a miracle in itself.
That's great. And we need to, that's awesome. That's America.
Mm-hmm.
Do Do we realize how that's America? That's what we do.
I never realized how much money the Shriners raise for the burn hospitals. It's in the billions.
Oh yeah.
Right.
You know, I mean, there's an awful lot of good-hearted people in this country, and we forget it. We forget that they're there.
We don't forget that they're there. We know them, and we don't appreciate them.
Never looked at it that way.
And there's a lot of them that wish to remain anonymous.
No, we're not talking about what they give. Americans give.
Yes, we do.
And we don't appreciate our neighbor. We don't appreciate them. We don't appreciate the people.
Yeah, even around the world. How many countries can do that, though, actually? You know, only here.
And we only make up 4.5% of the global population. And we don't appreciate what we have. That's why we can't get anything done right now, because we're not united. We don't care for one another. We're not passionate. We do things in the wrong manner. Yeah, we disagree on some things, but we can come together on what we agree with.
We need to focus on what we agree on.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't think it's that we don't care about one another. I think it's that we don't care about our own individuals. We don't care about ourselves sometimes.
That's true too.
We've said that.
Yeah. We are helping many people in the country, but no other countries helped other countries, and
like America.
This country had. It is unbelievable.
It is.
Do not know.
It is.
Still many missionaries and many people helping other places, and it's God blessing this country and forever, I believe.
I do. Mm-hmm. But America has to get back to being united.
Mm-hmm.
Division never wins. Because a house
divided by itself cannot stand.
That's correct. We will implode.
Yeah,
because we will kill ourselves.
About that song. Makes you think about that song, We Are the World, to see all those artists from all different genres come together.
I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
We did it again. Remember they were doing that for, was that for AIDS?
That was back in the
80s. Yeah, that was for AIDS.
That was for AIDS?
Yeah, it was.
Awesome. How much money did they make then?
Oh, tons.
Michael Jackson started that, didn't he? Yeah.
He and Stevie Wonder.
Yeah.
What'd you say,
Eric? Who would think that Bruce Springsteen and Stevie Wonder would be on the same stage together, singing for donations?
And Hank Williams Jr., I believe.
With Cyndi Lauper.
Right.
Right.
Come on,
that ain't gonna happen. I mean,
you had all those genres of music, all those eclectic things, all together doing one, old and young, young. I mean, that did a lot.
Well, in the '80s,
that was for Africa.
The spirit of giving.
That wasn't for AIDS. That was for Africa.
Okay.
I thought it was for AIDS in Africa.
That's what I thought it was. I thought it was ultimately for AIDS.
Let's look it up.
I'll
look it up.
That was USA for Africa. I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it.
We are the children.
See, that's my generation. That's when I grew up.
We are the ones
the 80s.
To make a better thing.
You didn't listen to music like that.
Yeah, I listen to all genres of music.
What about
you
listen
to crazy music.
Remember that big concert they had, too?
No. That was
Live Aid. In London at the same time.
Yeah.
That was.
And they simulcast. You know, and they really didn't have pay-per-view. It was just developing back then. If they did that today, think about it. The money that they can raise, the good that they could do. We just lost that spirit.
They sold sold 20 million copies.
I don't think we've lost the spirit. I think we've just become callous more. But you hit people up. Look at the tsunami. When they had the tsunami, the outpouring of help.
We do. And look at Katrina. We did.
Katrina.
You know, we do. And when we have the hurricanes and Sandy Hook
let's look at Katrina.
We do. No, I mean, I'm talking about the money that went. The money that went, the people
the
that
went
down.
Right.
Yeah.
Look at what happened even when the up in Sandy, the storm, Hurricane Sandy.
Yeah.
But see, what I'm saying is we shouldn't have to wait for a catastrophe to become benevolent. You don't wait until the house is on fire to meet your neighbor.
No, you don't wait till the house is on fire to install a sprinkler alarm.
Right. And also, I mean, because even with if you look at what's going on in Ferguson, Missouri, this is not good. You got people fighting one another. And let me say this:
the majority of people that are being arrested there aren't even from there.
Listen to the mindset of the people. Most of them don't know what they're protesting about. They have no idea, really. Because when they first started protesting, it was because they wanted the name of the officer. And so they were protesting.
And
it went from the name of the – they have the name of the officer. And so what I'm saying is people are moved by their emotion but not by their knowledge. And we're not going through process. Yes, the young man dying is tragic, and how he died was tragic. But there's a due process in America that I'm going to talk about at 11 at the, in the next hour that we need to pay attention to. Because the due process is you cannot take the officer or anyone out that you want to go after and put him in front of a shooting squad, a firing squad, and shoot him. That's not the American way. That's not the Constitution. That's not how we work. So no matter what, all they're doing is they are prolonging a process right now. And it's going to take longer. It's going to take years now instead of it taking months because they've colluded it and caused more problems on top of it. And that's a problem. That's a problem when we're talking about where we're going. That's a problem. We need to understand that. And people need to understand that we need to know how to engage the system peaceably through an organizational effort with our brains and not with our brawn, because the brawn really never wins. And I've got Moon Park still in the studio with me, and he teaches martial arts, but he teaches peace.
So we need some movement and good leaders helping others and how to work together. And that is really important.
It is.
Anyway, same thing.
It is.
I wish they would learn that lesson down in D.C.
We need to learn. That's why I like the ALS challenge, because right now they're learning that they can work together for a common goal to make good things happen. And it doesn't have to be a catastrophe for us to have another 9/11 for us to start doing something as a country for one another. We don't need another 9/11 to work for people. We got people who are in poverty. We need to help them out. But in helping them out, it's not always giving them food. It's teaching them how to go get their own. Because what good is it if I'm always feeding you? Then you have to be dependent on me. But if you feed yourself, then...
Don't give them a fish, give them a fishing pole.
Yeah, it works.
It's common sense.
Inside this book, Mr. Parker is here still. The number is 347-945-5229. I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back.
This is Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from 9 a.m. to noon on Newstalk 600. Visit our website for more info about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's T-R-A-C-E-Y and friends.com. Tracy and Friends on Newstalk 600. WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600, WSOM.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Richard Davies. The National Guard has been called in to restore peace and order to Ferguson, Missouri, after days of clashes between protesters and police. The anger is over the shooting of an unarmed teenager, Michael Brown. His mother tells ABC News she spoke with a top police officer with the Missouri Highway Patrol at a local church about the killing of her son.
He had a heartfelt message for me, and it was that could have been his son. And he was sorry.
There were more clashes in Ferguson last night. ABC's Jim Ryan is in the city.
No justice, no peace.
It's a scene that repeats itself almost every night and comes despite the imposition of a midnight to 5 a.m. curfew. Groups of people emerge from a crowd of demonstrators. Firebombs are thrown. The police respond with tear gas and officers in riot gear. Another scene repeats itself as well. Volunteers with brooms and trash bags are taking to the streets again. And the sidewalks, they're cleaning up the debris of the nightly violence. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Ferguson, Missouri.
Ukraine's government says rebels in the east of the country have fired rockets and mortars on civilians, killing many people, including women and children. A spokesman says the civilians were trying to escape intense fighting in the region. Texas Governor Rick Perry is fighting back after being indicted over the weekend, charged with abuse of power. ABC's Jim Avila is in Austin.
It is a big week for Governor Perry. First, this morning, his defense attorneys are scheduled to meet with a special prosecutor who indicted him, and then it's off for a mugshot and a court appearance in Texas here. And then, finally, he'll end the week by going back on the campaign trail in presidential primary states.
Jim Avila. Perry calls the indictment against him outrageous. A new bidding war for Family Dollar Stores, Dollar General, now into the bidding, making a big offer. This is ABC News.
That's the sound of people throwing out their old dehumidifiers. They've replaced them with the computerized Wave Ventilation Unit. Wave Ventilation expels moisture, gases, and toxins that are trapped in your basement or crawl space and replaces it with drier, fresher air. Wave Ventilation requires no maintenance. There are no buckets to empty or filters to change. And compared to a dehumidifier, it will save you hundreds of dollars each year in energy costs.
I recently installed a unit and was stunned by the difference. I had a dehumidifier for almost 20 years without ever getting rid of that musty smell. Now, the smell is finally gone.
Say goodbye to your dehumidifier and get a Wave unit for your home.
For free information, go to dryhousenow.com or call 888-964-WAVE. Satisfaction guaranteed. Just go to dryhousenow.com or call 888-964-WAVE.
We love them, but they're expensive. The cost of raising children has been calculated, and you might be surprised at how much kids cost.
We look at them and see tiny miracles, not necessarily dollar signs, but for planning purposes. The federal government reminds us every year with its consumer expenditure survey how much kids actually cost. It'll take $245,340 to raise a kid born in 2013 until he or she turns 18, and that doesn't include college. Averaging out to roughly $13,600 a year, kids cost less in the South and more in the Northeast, but really, raising a child is priceless, right? Scott Goldberg, ABC News.
In a bid to revive flagging sales, Target plans to keep more than half its stores open until midnight most days of the week. The extended hours will continue from this month through the holiday shopping season. I'm Richard Davies, ABC News.
Progressive Insurance, creators of the Name Your Price tool, choose from a range of coverage options and pick the price that works for you. Visit Progressive.com today.
We love the T-shirts for our family reunion.
Thanks, Captain Inc.
T-shirts made my company look more professional than ever.
Thanks, Captain Inc.
Our softball team may be 4-6, but we look like champions.
Thanks, Captain Inc.
Whatever your event, group, or gathering, nothing brings people together like custom T-shirts you design at Custom Inc. Our online design lab makes it simple for anyone to create great custom T-shirts. And Custom Inc.'s professional team of inkers will help you every step of the way.
The inker I worked with helped me upload my own artwork, choose the perfect color tee, and even figure out sizing. Thanks, Custom Ink.
We're passionate about bringing people together through T-shirts. That's why 99% of our customers would come back to Custom Ink. So what's your next event? Why not bring everyone together with T-shirts from Custom Ink? It's fun, it's easy, with free shipping and on-time delivery guaranteed. Start your design for free today at CustomInk.com. Pretty soon, you'll be saying, thanks, Custom Ink.
GEICO presents Strange Savings Stories. Astronomers detected an interstellar transmission. It stated, GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more. The implications were staggering. Was the cosmos telling us we could all save hundreds on car insurance with GEICO? Or did their radar merely pick up a signal from the nearby Rufus and Clyde's morning show? We may never know.
GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Michael Savage.
Thank God we live in a country that has gridlock in Congress. What you don't understand is that gridlock is the mark of a stable democracy. The mark of a dictatorship is a smooth government that has no opposition. That's what Chuck Schumer wants. That's what Harry Reid wants. That's what Obama wants, and I don't want it.
Weekdays from 3 to 6 on News Talk 600. Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon. The show that stimulates your mind on the issues of the day. Call the show at 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. That's 347-945-5229 or 1-800-530-WSOM. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
When we heed a certain call,
great big family. And the truth, you know love is all we need.
Hey, we're back, and you listen to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. That took us back to the years, didn't it?
Yes.
It really, really did.
Yeah. You thought about my sharing pants. What is it, Brazil?
A whole bunch of them aren't there with us anymore.
Yeah, I know.
Including the writer.
Yeah,
Mike did.
Mike Pendant.
I haven't heard that in a long time.
Yeah.
You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. I'm in studio with Styx and Ben. We've got Eric in South Carolina on the phone, and we want to have you with us. I am very, very go ahead, Eric. What were we saying before I even go there?
I was going to say that took me back to the days when I had those shiny pants with all the zippers in them.
Yeah, that'd be about the day. It'd be about there. Absolutely.
In 84, 83, 85 maybe?
That was 85.
In Majuri Girl?
No, that was 85.
85? Yeah.
No. Yeah, 85? Why did I think that was earlier?
It may have been 84.
Let's do this. It was like 85. This song was originally a charity song.
Mm-hmm.
And it was done in 1985. It was written by Michael Jackson and Lionel Richie and produced by Quincy Jones and Michael O'Martin for the album We Are the World.
And I think the young kids today, any of some of the younger artists, I mean, America's at a point where they should come together and do something like that. But, again, most of the entertainers nowadays are so self-centered that they wouldn't do it.
Yes, they would. They would come together and do that. But I don't know I can see them doing that for a cause. I can. I really think they would. But I think the difference is the music that they put out around it it contradicts what they sing in the song.
I can't see Snoop Dogg doing a set with Lady Gaga.
I can. Oh, absolutely.
And Brooks and
Dunn. Oh, absolutely.
What's a big country artist right
Brooks
now?
And Dunn.
Brooks and Dunn.
No, they're passe. Who's popular today?
No.
Kenny Chesney or something like that?
Kenny Chesney, Miranda Lambert.
There you go.
Snoop would do that. But
Adam Lambert, he's doing the Queen gig right now. The winner with American Idol? Yeah, he's got the Queen gig right now.
Some friends of ours said they were up in New York at the Queen concert, and I was like, well, I wonder who's doing Freddie Mercury's.
Well, it wasn't New York. It was Toronto, I believe.
Okay.
That was the closest one to us. I wanted to go. Because, I mean, I'm not an Abbott or Lambert fan, but, Queen, Freddie Mercury, geez. I mean, the voice on that guy was incredible.
I'll tell you what, we saw a terrible accident on the way to down to Mid-Ohio. It was the worst accident I've seen in a long time. Truck swerved to miss a car, a load of pipe. He pile drilled it directly into a steel light pole, shoved the entire load of pipe through the cab.
Wow.
I've been looking, trying to find out if anybody got killed, but I don't know how they couldn't have. Terrible, terrible accident.
Yeah.
This was a good weekend. We had a good time.
Yeah?
Really good time. Met some new friends from Cortland, our next-door neighbors down at the campground. We're from Cortland. The one gentleman and his wife he is a Delphi employee and engineer, and she was a Delphi employee and engineer.
Delphi's still up and going, are they?
Yeah.
Gone?
Oh, yeah. They're even building stuff here in the valley a little bit, they said.
Really? That's good news. Of course, we're going to take the gag off of Tracy here. We're going to let her talk.
Yeah. I'm
going to ban smartphones.
I'm busy. Don't you see me? I'm over here doing some stuff.
Yeah.
Why are you banning smartphones?
My wife got an iPhone. It drives me crazy.
Why?
Because it just makes me crazy.
What?
Well, what do you have? An Alphabet phone?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like the Alphabet.
Actually, I have a military spec phone.
Really?
Yeah. I'm thinking about getting a black phone.
It'll stop a bullet?
You can drop it from 35 feet onto concrete.
Uh-huh.
You can submerge it in 300 feet of water.
Isn't that your name?
Yep.
Then why won't you tag? Okay, go ahead.
You can submerge it in 300 feet of water.
Why do you need a phone that you need to be able to submerge in 300 feet of water? Where are you going? What?
What if I drop it in a bucket of water?
The pressure in the bucket of water is not going to be the same as 300 feet, so you're
right.
Good.
Right.
You're good.
Actually, when I got this phone, they said the only one they'd ever seen that was destroyed.
Somebody
dropped it in a bucket of tar.
Really?
And what happened was the phone still worked,
but
the tar made the speaker hard, so the speakers quit working.
I gotta go back to work, guys. You guys are talking about phones and stuff. I gotta talk about life. I found it this weekend. A lot of things happened this weekend, and I gotta get to it because we're running out of time.
Put your flak jackets on. Shrapnel's going to fly.
Shrapnel.
Ferguson, Missouri, the civil unrest is going on down there, and they're going to be putting in the National Guard. But Friday evening, a district attorney indicted Governor Perry, who is the governor of Texas. And I saw a commonality here. And I don't think people see the commonality thread. And the reason why Governor Perry was indicted was because he vetoed a line item for a district attorney and had something to do with her drunken driving and what was going on with her. And so out of vengeance or something on that order, and she went back to indict him. So she indicted him criminally. And you don't use the criminal justice system for political gain. But it shows you, and this is something that you have to understand, it shows you can indict a frog if you choose to.
I mean, you've even got people like Alan Dershowitz saying that it's a bunch of malarkey.
It is. Absolutely. But it shows you that you can indict a frog for being green and when you kiss him, not turn it into a prince if you choose to. So there's a lot of power that goes on with your prosecutors and your district attorney. And the reason why I'm tying that to Ferguson is people don't understand the injustices that have happened in communities across the country when it comes to the criminal justice system where law enforcement resides. When somebody does something, police have a tendency to overcharge.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I mean, think about
Trayvon Martin.
So they can get
an indictment.
I think about the Trayvon Martin case, and I'm thinking, well, this guy's going to be indicted. The question is, are they going to overcharge him or not?
They overcharged him. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to African American males, there is a propensity across the country for officers overcharging so that something, because you can get anything to stick to a wall if you throw enough stuff at it.
So what has happened
over the years through, I have people that I know who are productive African American men who had, in their youth, did something stupid, was overcharged, and because they have more than one charge, or they were harassed when they came out and got a disorderly conduct, they can't even get it expunged. So they have things on their record that they can't get expunged because they may have done something that they had no business doing, which we all did. We talked about that last week. We just didn't get caught.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. On the flip side, George Zimmerman was guilty of involuntary manslaughter, but he wasn't charged with that. And
that's correct.
If they overcharge this cop, they're going to make reasonable doubt easier to prove.
Well, but the problem is that there's so much. I mean, this case is being tried in the media,
because they started rioting because they were told
this kid was shot in the back.
Let me say this. Listen, Sticks. Listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying. The reason why they're incited by it is by the injustices that they lived through.
Mm-hmm.
And this was just the match, or the match that lit the powder keg. This just didn't happen because of you hit one kid. This is something that a lot of those people go through on an ongoing basis. This just happens to be explosive. You understand?
So
what's happening is you're seeing the frustration of decades.
But why are people from out of the area coming in to tear the place apart?
Some people, that's something different.
Profiling.
That's something different. You're going to have opportunists everywhere you go.
Well, no, I'm not going to say they're opportunists. I'm going to say they understand the frustration.
He's talking about the looters.
Yeah,
there are people that are protesting, that are coming in, they're tearing up the place, that mm-hmm. don't live there. You're going to have crazy. Crazies are everywhere. Mm-hmm. You'll be a part of a campaign, you'll see crazies come out of anywhere.
Well, we saw that in L.A.
Yes. I mean, crazies are crazies. They just psycho, and they just show up. You don't understand that. But the reason why the protest is not going the way it should.
It's not organized?
Because one, they don't work throughout the system to organize when they're doing something. But the issue overall is the people get frustrated to a point to where it spills over, mm-hmm. and people don't know how to react. So it goes. You got 95% of these people who are trying to put together a peaceful demonstration, and you got 5% who are just
profiteers.
Cycle. And let me say, and the profiteers are talking profiteers who like to see this going on so they can actually do something crazy to gain a success at it. The media likes it because it makes a good news cycle. There are people outside of the administration that I believe that are enjoying watching this because it's taking them out of the spotlight.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because right now, while we're talking about Missouri, we're not talking about what's going on over in the Middle East. We're not talking about what's going on in the White House. We're not talking about Obamacare. Their life's the name of this. And it causes people to be fearful. It does. And fear incites mobility, especially when it comes to emotional people like African Americans. Yeah, Eric.
Hey, wasn't Obama supposed to come home Sunday night for some reason?
He came home. He came home. He's home now. He's at the White House. But let me say this, and I may be completely wrong, and I may be off my rocker, but I believe if I was president, and this is probably why I'm not president, because if I was president, I would be not in the White House right now. I would be in Ferguson, Missouri, holding an open town hall meeting in a public place where they're protesting. And I would be talking to the residents that are upset inside of Ferguson, Missouri.
Well, you care about America. You care about Americans. That's something our president doesn't. So.
I would be there.
Yeah.
And I would tell them to knock off.
Anybody
tell them,
that cares.
But no, let me finish, Derek. I would tell them to knock off the nonsense and let me tell you how to protest in the right way. Because remember, he's an organizer. Let me send some people over here to you and help you learn how to organize for protest.
And I don't like the whole curfew thing. I'm a grown man. Don't tell me when I could be in the house and when I got to be in the house. This is America.
But you know, But see, Eric, they did the same thing in Boston when they had the unimummer. They put all of Boston on lockdown. You ain't never seen a major city on lockdown. That's what they're talking about, over militarizing an area. And I agree with you. But what I'm saying is that's a whole other issue. Because remember, they're already prepared to lock down America. Remember, we talked about this when the Boston bomber and those kids bombed the Boston Marathon. About how they locked down that whole city to go find.
Oh, they went into people's homes with no search warrants whatsoever.
We talked about that. That's a problem.
That's a big problem.
But this right here, it comes from lack of education and lack of information, and people not knowing how to protest and not knowing how the procedure and the process works, and the people that do know sitting on the sidelines trying to make a name for themselves so that they can't get anything else done. That is the problem here. And when I say this, I tie it to Governor Perry, because any time you can get an indictment out of a political situation, you know if you can indict a governor, you can definitely indict a black man. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
If you can indict a governor because you don't like what he did, and he has provision within the law to veto whatever he chooses without any answer to you, and you come in and indict him, which means you set a grand jury, you presented a case, you came out with a bill, and you indicted the governor. So you can imagine what they do to people. And you wonder why people are upset. That's just crazy. And let me say this about the people that are looting. I'm not quite sure. Why are they protesting at night?
The freaks come out at night, Tracy. That's why they're looting.
No. Listen to what I'm saying. They started protesting last night. Were they protesting all day long? Or did they start in the afternoon and it went into dusk?
Reading an article here trying to figure out.
Because when I was watching it on the live, they had a live stream there. I was watching it at midnight last night while I was watching CNN, MSNBC, and Fox.
You know what? It's going to be about as successful as Occupy Wall Street was.
But this is not about
This is going to get out of hand, because the article I'm reading right now. But the article I'm reading right now is the store owners are starting to arm themselves.
That's happening in LA too. People are getting shot. People are getting shot right now.
And I don't blame you.
I don't blame anybody for protecting their own property either.
But this is not about shooting one person.
But
my question is, why were that many people out protesting that late at night? You would have thought that the crowds would have dispersed by the time the sun went down.
People who want to do things at night want peaceful protesters at night.
Sticks, you're missing it.
The peaceful protesters probably went home.
No, Sticks, they didn't. That's what I'm saying. They didn't go home. They were protesting at sundown, and I don't understand when the sun went down, why had they not gone home yet? You protest in the daytime.
Could it be somebody's agitating them to stay out there?
I don't know. I just don't understand. I don't know. What do you say, Eric?
I mean, the cops are getting paid. They're getting paid by the hour, so it doesn't make any sense why they're down there protesting if these cops are getting paid by the hour. I mean, they're like, okay, they hear you. Okay, you're mad. You want justice. Okay, it's 4 in the morning. Go home.
So let's make more cops, hire more cops.
But stay on course.
What I'm saying is,
if you're going to have a protest, if I'm going to call for a protest, would I not call you and have us come and go to the protest from 9 until sundown?
It makes for better television coverage if there's daylight. For the pictures.
How in the world did they get that many people still out there protesting and marching when the sun went down? And if somebody's listening out here who can tell me, because maybe I'm reading something or saw something that's not real. Because there was a lot of people out there. Because in L.A., when they were protesting Rodney King, they didn't have a march. People were just all over the city.
Well, according to this article I'm reading, you've got two factions. You've got the violent faction and the nonviolent faction.
Right.
And they said about 200 people out of the violent faction started throwing rocks, and the other people were yelling at. It says, meanwhile, peaceful protesters yelled at the aggressors to stop what they were doing. About a dozen people eventually blocked off the front of the convenience store to protect it.
But question is, going back to what I said, you would think that if it, because I got to find the quote that I found on yesterday. It was from Martin Luther King talking about organization. It is so important that you be more organized, because he did it while it was during the Vietnam War era. It is so important that we actually be organized in our protest, more so than the person that we're protesting against. And what's happening is these people should have protested, gone home, and went back again. There's nobody sitting there talking to the police chief negotiating. And if it is, they're ineffective. There's no line of – you got all these cell phones, texts, messages. You got all this technology, but there's no communication between the people.
And it's ironic that yesterday they had that big rally at the church, and then all hell broke loose tonight, last night.
And the autopsy came out last night and showed the kid had 6 bullet holes, but we'll get to that in a minute. Go ahead, South Carolina.
Listen, Tracy, I find it very odd, just like what Eric was saying just now. I find it very odd that during the time of the 60s and the protests, the peaceful protests during the 60s, they didn't have the mass communications like we have today. And they managed to protest nonviolently. There's something very wrong here, something very, very odd going on.
There's something fishy here, and I got my own thoughts about what's going on. But I have an issue with this, and it's a passionate issue with this, because I see a political ramification that's going to come back and kill America if we're not hopeful and if we're not careful. I don't get it.
I smell a big rat. To be honest with you, when I started looking at what's going on, and, you know, they're talking about the militarization of America. Listen, you have to do what you have to do to control that kind of nonsense. And if you get offended because the police puts on a gas mask, a flak jacket, and carries a shield, and you call that militarization, then the best thing for you to do is take your butt home and you don't have to see that mess. Plain and simple.
Here's where you and I disagree on that, South Carolina. When you bring out the AMRAAM, that's militarization of a police force. Call the National Guard if you want to do that.
They did.
But they...
They're going to use this as a pilot program to see if they can actually do the same thing
that
they did in Boston and in Missouri.
Why did the governor blame or get mad with the police for showing excessive force, and then he calls in the daggone National Guard.
I've got my own reservations that I have to tell you. I won't speak them right now in public, but I've got my own theory about why things are going the way they're going when it comes to this issue politically. But I'm really concerned. I'm very, very concerned about the lack of organization and the lack of getting anything done, because people are not listening to what I'm actually talking about the frustrations of the people that are there, no matter what. And they don't understand due process. The officer has to have due process.
Mm-hmm.
It has to happen. It is a must. Because you want your son to have due process if he shoots someone. But the question is, if they did not make any noise, no one would pay attention.
Well, we have created a very bad habit of trying people in the media. I mean, look at the Tony Stewart thing with NASCAR. He's being tried in the media before the investigation's even completed. But, I mean, we do this over and over and over again.
Right, because he's a hothead, he's got to be guilty.
You know? And not only that, the misinformation just flies. You know, they were saying when it first started out that this kid was shot in the back. And the autopsy shows he was shot from the front. You know, he was shot in the arm 4 times, and he was shot in the head twice.
And let me say this. I think he had I got to take a break, but I think he had a semi-automatic gun, more than likely.
All officers. I don't know a single officer that carries a revolver anymore.
So if they have when we go to class for just a concealed carry, they tell us to shoot to kill. and you don't just pop off one and check and see.
No.
But then also, and the preliminary.
You shoot to stop.
No, they go, no, I was taught to shoot to kill. You center mass.
Right.
They didn't tell me nothing about, I said, well, can I just shoot him in the leg?
No.
They're like,
no.
Shoot, center mass, shoot to kill.
Right.
If you pull it out, shoot it.
Right.
That's what I was taught.
You unholster your weapon, you unholster it with the plans on using it.
Absolutely. And when I use it, I don't start shooting people like on they do in the movies. Just shoot them in the hand so I can shoot the gun out their hand so they won't come. That's not what you do.
Center body mass.
That's what I was taught. So I can see, because when you go and shoot a gun, I don't just shoot. When you're shooting, you're shooting.
Right.
You're not, you empty clips in a very short period of time, especially when you're paying for bullets. So the number of bullets that hit the young man, it's not like there was a lot of officers and there was 150 bullets that hit him from all over the place.
Right.
That you had one officer who was empty, he was emptying out his revolver.
Right.
Or his gun.
His gun.
His
firearm.
His magazine. And that's what he was doing, and that's what they're taught to do.
Right.
The question is, how far was he from him? Because they're saying that the young man...
Well, they say there were... The initial reports were at least two of the firearms were discharged... Two of the rounds were discharged inside the police car.
But see, they're saying that there's no gunshot residue.
In a police car. I hadn't heard that.
No, on the man's jacket this morning. Now, that was another... It was a private autopsy that was done. So there was no gunshot residue on the victim. On the victim to show the proximity of him. So that's what I heard.
Okay.
I know nothing. I'm not a pathologist. I don't have a clue. I'm not a forensic scientist.
That's not what I do.
No, I'm not Quincy Jones. That's not what I do. I do talk radio. I know this. But I'm just saying there. And 269. I'm going to pull you up in just a second. I'm just saying there is more to this, and there is a lot to this that we need to gather. But we also need to understand on both sides of this. Both the conservative white side, the conservative black side, the people who are onlookers, the naysayers about how this happens. Because if you don't understand how this happens, you will never be able to come and support it so it never happens again.
Because
people just want people to know, I just need support so it will never happen again. And doesn't mean that people will not get shot again. But what it does mean is, you just can't go out and do what you choose because the system has been flawed over the years. And it tends to be more flawed for those people of color than those people of non-color. And that and the keg has just been lit. And it started in Ferguson, Missouri. And I'm gonna take a break. I'm going to pick up 330-614. Your mic is on.
Hey, Tracy, it's Matt.
Hey, Matt. How you doing, honey?
How are you? I'm okay.
I'm good.
I'm all right.
I see you like my shoes.
Listen, I'm a man, so I thought your shoes were acceptable. My wife would have fallen in love with your shoes.
Good going. Hey, you going to be with us for a little while?
Yeah, I got a few minutes.
Well, good. I got to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll be right back.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Howdy, I'm so excited. Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce. The full cup of love.
Charlie Staple's barbecue sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a couple of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Fit family. Unique. Individualized. And promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Michael Savage. I used to like the title Steppenwolf by Hermann Hesse, once a very popular book. It always signified to me all of the different stages of all of our lives. And if you've been around a while and you had many different lives or incarnations, you're very lucky to see the world as it really is, as opposed to through rose-colored glasses, as it isn't.
Weekdays from 3 to 6 on News Talk 600. We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM, 347-945-5229, or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM, online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com.
We're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends from WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. It's good to see my friend calling in because I haven't heard from him in a while. I know we were on Facebook last night. I know that we were exchanging pleasantries about a photo that I put on Friday, but I saw him and he was posting on what was going on in Ferguson right now. And Matt, what is your thoughts on this? And 269, I'm going to pull you up in just a second.
Well, you know, I just have observations of last night currently. I mean, I have my opinions about the whole matter, but that's too much to get into right now. I was listening to the show, and I heard, I believe it was South Carolina, that mentioned that somebody's stirring the pot. This is exactly what I saw happen last night. I watched this happen from beginning to end because I was watching Lockup on MSNBC, which I love, and I can't stop watching the show. So they interrupt it, and they bring in what's going on. And, you know, the riot happened, and then they immediately had phone interviews. And one of the first people to call in was Reverend Jesse Jackson. And
You heard that too, huh?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And, I mean, listen, as the man, and I don't mean this as a slam, but as the man gets older, he really needs subtitles because I cannot understand what he's saying half the time. But he was basically repeating the same thing. It's like he had something prepared already. He was ready to call in with the speech that he had. It was very to the point, and it didn't vary off the point. It was exactly what he wanted to say. And what I noticed as well was they were interviewing protesters, and they all had the same thing that they wanted to say. And here's what they said. All we wanted to do was walk up to the police, you know, what they had set up in that parking lot, their headquarters or whatever. They wanted to walk up to it, get on their knees, put their hands in the air, and say, "Don't shoot." That's what all of them said. So to me, I'm hearing that somebody told them to do this, and I'm guessing that if you're the police in that volatile of an atmosphere, that you have a boundary somewhere where people aren't supposed to cross. And from what I heard, even though they said it wasn't, a couple protesters said that there was some warnings, but you don't cross those lines. Because if you do, then you're inciting a reaction from the police. And I think that people like Jesse Jackson, who, as I said, called in immediately with a prepared speech or a prepared, whatever he wanted to say. It was all prepared. It was immediate, and he didn't vary off of it. I think that they were told to do this. This is what organizers do. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, what happened in Ferguson was right or wrong, but I'm saying that the leadership of the people that are handling these protests, and which is their First Amendment right, I think they're trying to incite more issues and more problems for whatever reason that they've been trying to do for the last 20, 30 years.
Let me say this. I disagree with the prepared statement of Jesse Jackson. I don't. I disagree with that. And no one is, you know, putting people out there in the middle of the crowd, making them cause conflict. Because they have studied African Americans so much that they know what can incite a movement. You understand? Because they already know. They know what buzzwords that you can use to set people off.
Okay.
But they're like code words, you just know.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Hold on, Eric. But I will say this, because I got to bring 269 in. I will say this. We are in a situation here, because I watched it last night, and they said that shots were fired from other people, because there's a lot of things going on there in Ferguson. And you got peaceful people here, you got crazy people over there, and somebody came in willing to fight, because you can't make a Molotov cocktail unless you're prepared for it.
Right.
You got to bring the gasoline with you and the rag.
And a glass bottle.
And a glass bottle. You got to do that. And so you come there looking for a fight. And I don't think it's orchestrated by them. But if you know them enough, you know that you can get somebody to act crazy inside of the crowd. But I do believe that there is a political component to this.
I'm not saying it was the crowd. I'm not saying it was the crowd. Okay. I'm saying people are out there for a legitimate right. Okay. And I understand that. But if you have a leader there, and, you know, I'm going to disagree with the Jesse Jackson thing, but we'll leave that alone because we'll agree to disagree. But somebody told a crowd of hundreds of people to push that boundary where that police, that command center was. Somebody told them to do that because they all had the same story. We're going to go there, get on our knees, put our hands in the air, and say, don't shoot. They all have the same story. So somebody
Hold on. If you're going to protest and you're going to get on your knees and throw your hands up in the air and don't shoot, fine. And then that's okay. And they had a church meeting that morning. They say it went very, very well. Because when I heard Jesse Jackson last night at 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, he was flabbergasted. He didn't realize what happened, because he said when they left yesterday, they looked like they were going to have a peaceful protest. It would be over. But shots were fired before curfew even came in.
Right.
So there was an unrest before they even can get people home. But I couldn't understand why they were protesting at night, because I would think everybody would be home in bed like me. But I will say this. I believe that there is a push to keep this going to incite people for political reasons come the November.
I'm not
because
disagreeing.
Remember,
I'm just letting you bring
remember,
somebody else
you
in.
You cannot mobilize people to come out and vote in midterms unless you scare them, those that don't participate usually.
Right. I definitely think there's somebody behind the scenes stirring the pot.
Because all I know is there are too many
Just the sheer number of people that are being arrested that don't live in that town.
Well, no,
tells me that somebody's busing people in.
No. We don't bus people in. We show up. We drive on our own. You got to understand, that's what I'm talking about. Let me say this to all you white people out there: we speak the same language, But the majority of African Americans have two different cultures. We are not the same cultures as European America. We run to a fight. We don't run from it. It's just who we are. They be like, fight, and we all run to it because we go to see. Y'all run home. We don't do that. You gotta understand that, and they know that. When they had the Genesis, thousands of people went down to drove down there and used their own money to go and protest that. Zimmerman, people just took their money going down to protest that. We run to a fight. We don't run from it. It is just what it is. I can't help that, and I don't know why, but it's true. I just don't know. But I will say this. There are people who are trying to they're trying to incite this for a reason. 269, your mic is on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can.
Yeah. You know, it's understandable for the Europeans on the phone to play this bait and switch game, but it's a little disheartening, you know, listening to you, Tracy, and South Carolina, you know. It's almost like you got your head stuck in the sand. Now, there's one issue here.
Did you miss the open dialogue that I had? No, you missed my.
I've been on here since 9 o'clock.
Did you miss the open? Okay. Did you hear what I said about how this ties into the governor of Texas?
Yeah.
Did you hear that?
Anyway, so
did
listen.
Do you understand that that there is more to this, but there also, if I cared enough, then I would go down there and help them organize this so that they would have impact. Because right now, this is not organized. See, what's going on right now is not an organized protest. They're not getting anything done.
Yeah. Well, listen, first of all, let me say this. Normally, you mute my phone, so I just want to know, just so everybody hears, why you muted, I don't know, but I'm certainly not going to be disrespectful. But listen, Tracy, you don't have a magic wand. You're not smarter than the average black.
I'm smarter than you.
I doubt that very seriously. And from listening to you talk, I know you're not smarter than me. That's
all
clear.
Right.
But listen, there's one issue. You have a young black man who was shot 6 times. Clearly they're saying that none of the bullets or none of the shots were for close range. So when the psychology of this terrorist is brought out, this is clearly an execution, unless he had a weapon, which it appears that he didn't. And then to hear you say, hey, I was taught when I pull out a gun, I was taught to shoot to kill. But this is supposed to be an officer of the law.
They shoot the same way.
Did you miss my point?
Did you miss what I said? Remember, everything of this case has not come to a head. Right now, you're only 7 days in. What I said was, everyone knows, what all officers are taught is to shoot body mass. When you brandish your firearm, you shoot to kill. You don't shoot to maim. You don't shoot to stop. You don't shoot to slow down. Now, I'm not saying that the officer was right, and I'm not saying the kid was right. What I said was, there's a lot of dead right folks in America.
Tracy, just
what
really
are you
quick.
About? You don't know if he was right.
I need to correct something. What you said, Tracy. And you can ask military and police this. Cops are not trained to shoot. Trained, unlike military, they are trained to shoot to stop. So they are not trained as far as being marksmen as the military is. They are trained, you shoot, like what you said, body mass is correct, but you shoot to stop. To kill is an unfortunate event that may take place. I just wanted to correct that.
Okay, then I'll put it like this.
I think we're kind of arguing
the same. Okay, body. If I hit you, body mass.
That's arguing semantics. And you have a young man that's dead. Listen,
if I pull, Let me say this. If I pull my gun, I'm not pulling my gun just to see if I can get you to stop like I'm watching television. I'm pulling my gun. If I'm going to stop you and I hit you center mass, I'm expecting to hit you somewhere that's going to stop you in your track.
You're not
now, if you bleed out, you bleed out. The boy, and listen,
you're
and there's a lot,
citizen.
And look, that young man, that whether he be right or whether he be wrong, we don't know. We have no idea right now what actually happened. No one does. That's the problem, except for the officer. And they have to collect all, just like if this was a black officer, I'm sorry, a white kid and a black officer, you would want to have due process for him.
Well, we don't.
You
we
can't do it in a week.
Because that never happens. We
yes,
won't hold that one, Tracy, because that never happens.
Tracy.
But you still want to have due process. You've got to go by the Constitution. You've got to go by the law, whether you like it or not. And if you don't like the law, change it. But you don't change it by burning up your own community.
You guys are pathetic.
Hey, Tracy.
That's real talk.
Yes, South Carolina.
You know, the thing that saddens me more than anything else, and I think I text Fix on it about Sunday, the thing that saddens me more than anything else is we are so reactive, and it's going to kill us. It's going to be to our detriment. There are so many things that have been done wrong in this situation with this whole case. I mean, I've been look back through history. Okay, first of all, you know, the kid was going to be pursued by the law because he committed a strong arm robbery, allegedly. Okay, but the problem here is all you have to do is comply. If you know you've done something wrong, you know the police are asking you questions. Why are you going to be combative with them? Ask the question and go on about your business.
But we are so reactive.
The man, he got shot. It's unfortunate. But
listen,
we are so mad at the police for doing their job.
But hold on now. I'm not gonna cast judgment either way right now on anyone. So I'm not gonna say that the young man should have and the white and the officer should have. I'm not gonna say any of that because there is a young man dead and there's an officer who shot him. So we don't know. And this is the problem that we have. The majority of anybody, unless you are inside of the department, and they still don't have all the particulars of what actually happened that day because they're still trying to stop the unrest in their city. They haven't even gotten everything. They haven't gotten all the what. There was a lady who turned in she videotaped it on her cell phone that came in this morning. I mean, there's too many things out there that no one knows. Yeah?
If I had shot a cop, do you think I'd be in jail or at home watching TV?
If you had shot a cop, you would be at home. You would be in jail. But if a cop shoots you, they don't go to jail right away. You can't arrest a man until an officer who is allowed to shoot people until you have a case against him.
You've got two things. You've got one, you've got union rules, and two, you've got to have a legal investigation.
And we need to understand that. I mean, he's an officer who said he shot the young boy in self-defense. So we know that he has to go through a process through the officer's department, through the police department, as well as through the judicial system.
And these so-called leaders are doing a very terrible job. They actually remind me of these Muslim clerics in the Middle East that are telling these people to strap bombs in their waist and blow themselves up. Well, they're sitting back in their hotel rooms telling these young folks to go out there and get themselves arrested, get shot at, and everything else.
And what
I'm saying is
the lack of organization of this protest shows you the chaotic system that we have. That is the problem. They're supposed to be able to protest. If you don't like something, you can march in the streets. That makes us America. But you have to have a program. You have to have an end game. And they don't have one. And right now, people are getting shot. People are getting hurt. And the community at large is going to fail.
I'll tell you what I'm seeing is it looks like it's just a big lynch mob.
Yeah.
For this police officer.
If Jesse wants to impress me, I want to see him get arrested for a civil unrest.
Listen, what will happen is clearly you will have the Jesse Jacksons and the Al Sharpton's. At the end of the process, they will go shake down a few corporations. and a few corporations will put some biscuits in the community, and that'll be it. I mean, that's just the nature of blacks' organization. It has nothing to do with those young people not understanding how to organize from the perspective of, correct, this is emotional. That's an emotional outcry. But the organization that you're talking about is not the protest. It's the organization of the black community, which you don't have. If you had an organized black community, if you had an organized black community, you wouldn't have an all-white city council in a 72% or 80% some black city.
That's what I said on Friday. That's what I said on Friday. But what I'm saying to you is, if I care enough, the only reason why, I'm too far down on the food chain. But there are people out there who have more influence in major cities. They really do. They have more. I mean, they can walk in the. You know, you've got the people who we got them. You know, Cedric the Entertainer. He was on television today, and he was talking about that he wants. You know, he tells his son and that's other that they need to calm down. These people ain't watching the news that are causing the civil unrest out there. So why are we not there saying, listen, guys, don't do this? The President of the United States, instead of him going to Washington, D.C., why didn't he go to Ferguson, Missouri and say, let's stop the madness? And let me help you organize so that we can get to the bottom of this. Send
exactly.
Eric Holder in there. Send somebody. They voted for him.
This type of protest for blacks, as vulnerable as they are in America, it's almost your best approach from this perspective. If you look at the power structures, blacks have no power structure. So what the protest does, it turns on the light. It's a light that Europeans don't want the world to see about their race relation problems. The longer the light stays on, the larger the check will be from the corporations. Now, if that's your best approach, of course not. But this is where we're at in America. The longer the light stays on, those corporations will write a bigger check once the dust settles. Who's going to get it? How it's going to be dispersed? That's two separate issues.
But what I'm saying to you is...
Do you agree with that?
I agree with you on that. Sticks doesn't understand that, but I agree with you on that.
I agree with him, too. My question was going to be... Who does the big check help?
But my question,
what does the big check? If the big check does some good, I'm all for it.
No, Sticks, it goes to my pocket. It goes to my bottom line, not theirs. You give me the money so that I can go get another car. It ain't about the people.
The one word that Michigan used was best way to go about it. I would disagree with best way. I would say the most effective.
I agree.
I think best way to go about it is kind of saying, well, you know, morally it's a good way to go about it, but it is the most effective way currently.
I learned, and I got to take a break really quick, but I will say this. I am very, very passionate about this because I'm reading a quote from Martin Luther King, and it says, those who love peace must learn to organize as effective as those who love war.
That makes sense.
And my problem is we have people who are organizers, and they are not converging on Missouri right now to help these people organize so that they can get to the bottom of this and change things, because we're sitting here watching it from the cheap seats and nobody cares. And nothing will be done at the end of the day except their whole community will be burned down. Some young boys will be incarcerated. Some of them will be shot and wounded, and the rest of us will just go home, and then we'll start all over again tomorrow. And we don't see a problem in this. That's a problem. And the news media is sitting there watching it. You got streaming. People make money off of this, and then they're going to mobilize you to come out and tell you that it's the right wing of the party who hate you enough that you're going to come out and vote for the Democrats in the midterms. That's what I'm saying. And why are we not out there helping these people organize?
Because there's nothing to be gained by having them organize.
That's not true. And as Michigan says, it's because we lack organization.
But Michigan's also correct, and this is what gains power and money for the people who make money off of stirring these people up.
That's the point. But and to negate what you were saying, they don't have to go and plant people in there. They just know, say a couple words and we'll blow up. They know that. I'll be right back.
Insurance companies may sound like they're saying switch and save, but it usually ends up more like bait and switch. Safe Auto gets it. No conditions to save. Only the right car insurance for the right price. Safe Auto. Call, click, and enjoy the road ahead.
My Bad Back loves my Craftmatic.
My Bad Back loves my Craftmatic bed.
My Bad Back loves my Craftmatic adjustable bed.
These aren't actors. They're real people who sleep better every night thanks to their Craftmatic adjustable bed. Just call 800-371-9576. That's 800-371-9576 for prices.
Hey, Matt, how's it going?
It's going good, South. I'm glad you said something. I thought I hung up accidentally. Michigan still in
it? Yeah. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Man, what a mess in Ferguson, you know? I mean, I've been very reserved in judgment about what's going on because the facts aren't in.
Yeah.
You know, I, again, just even like the Trayvon Martin case, people reacted before facts came in. And I'm going to reserve judgment until I see all the facts come out. That being said, you know, if I see this kid, you know, I just heard about the cell phone video. I'd be interested in seeing that. But, I mean, if this kid decided that he was going to turn on an officer, and I don't know if he had his hand in his pocket or what got this officer to pull his gun, if it was the kid literally turning around and trying to intimidate the officer in some way, shape, or form, sorry, you know, you're going to get force delivered. Now, if the cop just got a little trigger finger and itchy and nervous and the kid was walking away and he just wanted to stop him by shooting him, that officer should be in prison for the rest of his life.
WSOM. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, we're back, and you listen to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number's 347-945-5229, and I'm sitting in the studio with Sticks. Ben dashed out. He had to go to work, and I am was talking to good to have you here, Matt. You've been missing in action. I know you're trying to make some money, but, you know, we miss you.
Wintertime tends to be a little more lenient on me, so I'll try to get in a little more this winter.
All right. I miss you. But I'm just very, very I met Matt. You guys didn't meet Matt. So, okay, we're all even.
All right.
Everybody knows one, except for Ben. But I am so – I'm very – you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. I am trying to slow it up a bit, but I got a lot to say, and it is really in my heart because I think that we are better than this, and our country is better than this. And I have a problem with having people who understand my culture because they studied it, because they wanted to assimilate into it. And I'm talking about the President of the United States, because he had to study the culture to integrate into the culture, because he comes from the same culture that I do.
Well, yeah, I mean, he grew up in the wealthiest
of Hawaii.
Zip code in Hawaii.
Well, he grew up in Hawaii. He lived, you know, he went to the
private schools.
So his culture, but Eric Holder knows, and I think he has pretty much the same background as President Obama. Not being, he was in mainland though.
Right,
but he was
still
absolutely
a product of the Ivy League from top to bottom, and so was Valerie Jarrett.
Yes, but they have studied long enough. They studied enough. They know enough.
They know how to manipulate the masses.
But the problem is they know enough that if they really cared, they know how to get into Missouri and stop the madness. They know how to do this because, if nothing else, these people that they have around them are masters at organization. And you can prove that by the 2008 election. They are masters. They are so proficient at organization that they steamrolled the Clinton machine, and it was on automatic.
Mm-hmm.
Axelrod Plus, they know they have access to it. He is the President of the United States. He knows that he can stop this on a dime. He can, as a matter of fact, he doesn't even have to show up in Missouri. All they got to do is put a jumbotron.
It's like one with Matthew Fig. You never let a crisis go to waste.
Have him address the crowd. And jumbotron.
Absolutely. And then send some people down there and help them organize.
But it appears Holder's using his authority to stir the pot even more.
And that's what I'm saying. I need for them to send people in there to help them organize for impact and for change. See, the problem that I have is these people don't understand that they will never get anything that they want because due process has to happen.
Well, you can't make for a better neighborhood if every 10 years or so you burn it to the ground.
No, that's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying is they do not understand right now during this protest. You cannot get anything.
No, you're not going to get it. You can't.
There's nothing that they can't negotiate anything
because
you have to give the officer due process.
Right.
And that he has to have that. There's no way around that.
And not only that, it's awful hard to get a rational negotiation and a rational discussion with a mob.
That's what I'm saying. There's no mob. The mob is the people, and that's not a mob. Most of those people out there, 95% of those people out there, are just hurt and they're disgusted. And they're disgusted because you got to realize, in a town like they are, when you are that mentally impoverished, that you have 70% of your electorate be one race and you have no representation anywhere inside of your elected officials, you got to understand the mindset of those people. I'm quite sure that you only have two officers that are African American in that community. And you have to realize that there is a racial divide in that community already. This is just a manifestation of it. I'm quite sure those officers, because there are some out there that are really bad, and I'm not talking to the good ones, so I don't want to hear nobody pull me over in the next couple of days, but I'm not talking about them. But there's some bad officers out there that profile. I'm quite sure that they harass people.
It happens everywhere.
Yeah, but it's helping everywhere. But being black is a whole other world. It just goes to the root of your existence because they dehumanize you. And so when you take a young boy, whether he be wrong, he might have, whether he robbed a store, all that kind of stuff had nothing to do with the situation. And because you've got a police chief who has no alliance with anyone of color, so that he can actually meet their culture. You got opposite cultures, so they go out there and start releasing information. Well, here's a video. He was actually a suspect in a robbery. This is not what we're talking about, because the robbery had nothing to do with
the shooting.
The shooting. Right now, we're just trying to find out why did the officer pull his gun and shoot. That's it.
Tracy,
so the first thing that people wanted, they wanted the boy's name. What'd you say, Matt?
My feeling on this is that, and I understand it's built on frustration, hundreds of years of frustration, and I get that.
Yes.
But when you see things like this happening, where there's automatic protests and riots, without the facts, I mean, it's literally going off half-cocked, and they're shooting themselves in the foot.
Absolutely.
By going out every time every time without the facts in, why wouldn't they go find a case where the facts came in? There was, there's tangible evidence there to say, hey, this is not right. We as black people are still being, gunned down unlawfully. And here is the proof. Here's the evidence. Here are the cases that either went to trial or the evidence is so sound and solid. Why not go look for those cases instead of, is it trying to grab the heat of the moment? I just don't understand why the tendency to shoot themselves in the foot all the time seems to be coming up more and more.
Because, Matt, the problem is you're dealing with we talk about under low information voters.
You're right.
We talk about low information voters all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So now you've got low information voters with less information.
Worse than that, you've got low information voters with the wrong information.
correct, but they've got no – because it, remember, we've taken critical thinking out of the equation altogether. And remember, we keep on, we've said this before, and we'll continue to say this, that African Americans have been the pilot project for Agenda 21. Remember, these people – hold on, Aaron. These people are not only low-information voters, but they have ripped their critical thinking skills away from them so they don't go back and ask questions because they don't know what to ask. Go ahead, Eric.
And if the town is 70% African-American, Tracy, then it's pretty obvious what side he voted for.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. The lady yesterday, and I don't know if you saw the clip, but she said, she got up there and she said, you know, we were the last state to actually put down slavery, and this is why we're protesting out here. What does slavery have to do with this? You got to understand that what we have indoctrinated people to believe and to think about. And then we have not pulled them into the new century and told them that they were free and that they can think on their own. We haven't given them the tools for freedom.
Well, yeah. I mean, they think that it's good to have a Democrat administration because we have three black cops. You know, that's the craziness of it.
The gentleman who was down south recently, who did the robocalls and told him if you don't vote for this other guy.
Oh yeah, Mississippi.
There you go. Remember, they mobilized them, telling them that they were going to take away their entitlements. And so they came out and voted for something that they would not take out, they would not vote for. They would not vote for a Republican in any other way. You understand? I mean, you have to understand the mindset of this, how they have indoctrinated people. And then we're sitting back with the cheap seats, and we're looking at what's going on here, and no one's going to help these people. And they're in every urban city in America. Don't get it twisted.
You know, and when you talk about representation, too, I've noticed that, you know, a lot of these voters, especially on the side of the left, would rather vote for a white Democrat than a black Republican.
Absolutely. No matter what.
That's Tracy
my point.
Ran into that.
That's
right
my
here.
Point. You got, they've been voting Democrat since that town was incepted, and what do they have to show for it besides three black cops and no black council members?
That's what I'm saying. They don't understand the process because they're not only low information voters, but they're low information on process. They have no idea what they want from these people, so they're just marching down there just to get out in the sun and to make some noise. And they don't know what they're doing. You've got crazy people coming in, taking advantage of a situation, and they're being used by everybody. And at the end of the day, nothing will be done the right way. And we'll come up with another Zimmerman, and everybody's going to be mad. Because what happens is if people don't know how to take the due process of this, they lose.
You've
got to
know
how to work the system.
It's when you look at something, and you could ask any one of the people that call into this show that are left-leaning, and you ask them, would you vote for president for Tracy Winbush, who has seen, you know, who's lived the life of you know, living in cities where there was a lot of racism, where there was a lot of the struggle, where there was the actual struggle, or would you vote for Barack Obama, who's half white, who went to Ivy League school? They'll vote for Barack Obama all the time.
I'm trying to tell you guys, we look at Condoleezza Rice like she is some UFO,
and she was raised in Jim Crow South.
And she understands the struggle, but because she's intelligent and because she became that which her parents and people died. People died for the struggle for her to become. Because she became it and she became a Republican and didn't come in and kiss the ring of the Democrat Party, they just actually lambasted her. That's just crazy.
She was called Aunt Jemima.
That's just crazy. And so we have these people down there, and no one's going down there to educate them, to help them, to solve the problem, because all we're seeing is a manifestation of a bigger problem that's going on there. These people were oppressed in their own cities. That's all you have to really understand. And you're seeing the manifestation of an 18-year-old boy that many of them probably did not know, had no clue, that brought them out. And then you had people who are capitalizing on it because they have no discipline and have no control. I'm quite sure they have a high unemployment rate. They got a high incarceration rate. They got a high poverty rate. And they got a low education rate.
They all seem to go hand in hand.
And we're sitting here, and I'm looking at, you know, we've got the Tyler Perrys, and we've got the political mm-hmm. people, and we've got the what's her name, Maxine Waters, and all these congressmen who go out, and what they call surrogates. Surrogates go into all these communities during election time
right.
to get them to come out and vote.
Right.
Where's a surrogate now?
Well, here's what I don't understand is when you have somebody like South Carolina or my friend Gene, and they talk about how to become successful, people cut them off at the knees.
Gene, Republican?
I have no idea how he votes.
Okay.
I think he voted for President Obama at least the first time.
There you go. I'm just saying.
I mean, I'm just saying. It's got nothing to do with it. Here's a black man that has become very successful when he started out with a $500 truck.
Because it starts with a mindset. You know, we were talking
about, why cut him off at the knees when he says, I did it, you can do it too?
Because I don't believe you. See, when you kill the dream, you kill the ambition, you kill the person. And these people are dead.
Well,
and then
you've got a lot of poor white people in the same boat.
And then you've got to realize that we have turned into a godless nation.
Well,
and the black community is more and more becoming a godless community. And so when you lose your God, when you lose your faith, you have nothing. And we wonder why we can't get ahead.
You know, when I was watching part of the coverage last night, I don't know who it was. I think it was a reporter for CNN, and he was a black man. And he made a very interesting comment, and it goes into what you just said, Tracy, about them losing faith and being, there's a godless society that's starting to creep in. He said, if you look at some of these protesters, they're young. A lot of them are kids, and they're not afraid to die. And I
think they don't believe they're going to live anyhow.
That goes right into what you were talking about.
They don't believe that they're going to live.
Mm-hmm. There's no moral compass anymore because they're not being taught at home properly. They're conditioned to go along with a political idealism instead of attending church and listening to God's words. There's no moral compass, so it's nothing to them.
And as I said in the first hour, I'm looking at Governor Perry. That was malicious prosecution at its highest level.
Mm-hmm.
And if
everyone
they,
faces.
And if they can indict the governor of the state of Texas, you got to understand that process. What can they do to the average person, and what can they do to a black man? We need to really understand that.
Oh, we're
they indicted the governor on some trumped up charges because they didn't like what he was doing.
Same with the IRS.
You have to be tried to send you to jail, right? They can't send you to jail on an indictment.
But the problem is, Governor Perry is smarter than a fifth grader. Governor Perry has resources.
Mm-hmm.
Governor Perry knows where to go. Governor Perry is a critical thinker. And Governor Perry knows how to make this work. You get a young 18-year-old boy, and all he's got is a public defender and or something that is free.
They're going to scare him,
and they're going to
do the 6 months and
do the year, do the time, and now he's on paper. So now you're my slave,
right?
Because all incarceration is a new paper.
Yep.
When you were slaves, you had to have paper. When you've been incarcerated, you're still on paper, and everywhere you go, you keep on holding the paper. You go to get a job, and they ask you, "Do you have your papers?"
We've had that discussion many times.
I'm just saying.
And we agree on that.
And so when
you paid your debt to society, it should be over and done.
You would think so, but you got a young boy. They don't even want him to play football down in East Liverpool.
Right.
He done the whole 2 years, done a community.
And this particular young man never even touched a girl.
That's what I'm saying. But he can't. He's a registered pedophile. But you can't play football no more because we don't want nobody clapping for you.
You can't have a real job.
No.
You can't graduate high school, go to college, and get a real job.
None. So we're gonna
ruin your life.
Absolutely. And so we're gonna put you back in there so you can work for 2 cents a day. You gotta understand, this is America. So if you want to know what's going on in Missouri, this is what's going on there. And until we as Americans understand this is not a black problem, this is not a white problem, this is not a Missouri problem, this is an American problem. Because it is in every urban city in this country. And it's only going to take one match to light that power cage. And some of these cities you're not going to be able to put out.
I think there is a concerted effort to light that match.
There is. Because, again, I said this. Because right now, we got to get this thing rolling so that we can scare people into the midterms. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Just watched the autopsy report. Very interesting.
Yeah, it is.
It seemed like people were trying to make it be one thing when it might not have been that. So this is going to be very interesting when all the evidence comes out. However, the one thing that does happen is you saw that the man was shot in the top of the head, and that's from and he's shot in the over the right eye and in the top of the head as well. That's going to be the thing that that blows everything up. However, the problem is how they're handling it, and they should have at least held the man, you know, on something, because, you know, I mean, hey, six times, he was shot six times, and they should have done something to quell this. But if they like that powder keg, let me tell you this, it is over for African Americans in America. And there will be only a few people left, because there will be an all-out war going on in our nation again. And it won't be to free us this time, because the behavior that has been exhibited here has been both coerced and coordinated, and it's on purpose because we're coming up on a very important election. And when you have this game being played like this and the politics being played, this is dangerous. But they've already replaced black people in America with the Central America and south of the border people. So that's where you're going with this. It's going to be very, very, very interesting, the outcome of this report once it's done and whether the man is charged, et cetera, et cetera. And last but not least, you know, everybody involved in this investigation and the policing and all, a Democrat. That ought to tell you something.
What you trying to say, Jeff?
I'm trying to tell you that what I've been saying for the last 20 years, that every inner city in America is run by Democrats, and all the bad treatment of cops is being done by Democrats, not Republicans, not people that Republicans put in office, nothing like that. All Democrats. Why is that? Is
yes,
this
yes.
such a great sense of
yes.
to my people? Uh-huh.
Yeah. Honey, let
yeah.
me tell you something. Don't worry about that because they got their back.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They got their back. They're shooting them in the back.
No, Jeffrey. No.
It's not that he was shot in the back either.
It's okay.
So, yeah,
you can be shot in the back because the Democrats got their back. That's what I said. They got their back. Don't worry about it. They love them. Ask them. They tell you. They for them.
How come the Democrats sure. haven't fought for any reform?
What reform?
At this point.
What? They don't need the reform. They're their friends. They come to the churches during the election season. They hang out with them and come and hang out in their bars. They give them stuff.
We're going to take care of that.
They give them stuff. You know they give them stuff, right? They give them, you know, they bring stuff around. You know, they have giveaways. Don't worry. You don't understand, Jeff. You people on that other side, y'all want us to get out and go get it for ourselves. That's a problem.
That's why it's a mess, Tracy. They can't blame the right for this. They own this problem, and they don't know what to do with it.
They own it?
That's why you had all the stuff going on in the... And the guard coming in and all this other stuff, they don't want to do anything in the situation to upset that area because it all points to one side of the political spectrum. And that's the spectrum that buys and sells black people.
Can I tell you something? Listen, mark my word, before this is over, this is going to become your problem.
Oh, it's the black community's problem because...
No, Jeff. Before this is over with, they're going to blame all this on you, you Republicans.
Yeah, they haven't figured out how to do it yet. That's what they're working on right now.
I heard something ludicrous this morning on MSNBC. They said if the far right side would understand what was going on here, what does the right side have to do with this?
Nothing. Exactly. Nothing.
So why are they talking about the right side?
Because that's what they were taught to say, and the thing is brainwashing is a terrible thing. I'm glad I grew up like I did. I grew up in the middle of the civil rights. Go ahead, Ed.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
I was gonna say this is far left liberalism at its finest.
My question is all the, and that's what I'm saying. You know, I that's what I'm saying. Why do you have African American leadership that's Democrats? That you, because you know during election time surrogates go everywhere. You know, they call in on the phone, they share. Why don't they have any surrogates going there right now to actually help them organize and take care of this problem, Jeff? Answer that question.
They don't want that. Like I said, this is an inside job. And I'm not saying that the young man was killed on purpose by a political structure. That's not what I'm saying.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
But what I am saying is that this opportunity to gin up and rile up the base for the midterm election is not going to go wasted if they can help it. And they're carefully walking around this. The president got involved. And now he's ordered an autopsy, a federal autopsy. That the poor young man has been autopsied 3 or 4 times now. So once again, you've got all this stuff happening, all this craziness going on, and the police department can't really say anything too much because they know that they, you know, there's some things down there that are not right. But tell me something, Tracy.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people say it's been like this for years around here. Why has it been like that for years around there when all these people are the people you vote for?
Jeff, can I say it's been like that for years? Can I say, Jeff, let me say, and the number is 347-945-5229. I don't want to say, I'm not saying that this, and Youngstown is better than this. But not much.
Oh, yeah.
No, hold on, but not much.
I agree.
Now, Youngstown is better than Ferguson, Missouri, but not by much. Because if you watch the voting patterns and how we do things here locally, here in Youngstown, Ohio, where we are, it's the same paradigm.
Mm-hmm.
We've just got a few more people that have infiltrated the system. But then the people that have infiltrated the system don't know how to work the system so that they can actually do better for the community at large.
So they end up being placeholders.
Pretty much. So you have a school board who still has an ineffective board of education who has an ineffective school, even though you have a majority black board.
Yeah.
You still don't have economic development in your city. You don't have it. And the reason that you don't have it is because you don't know how to engage in the process because, and 9 times out of 10, you're not sitting at the table when the deals are being made. Even though you're a placeholder or elected official. Warren, Ohio, you know, they're better than, you know, they got a black mayor. But they got a white city council. Yeah, Eric?
What is Galladay?
No, go ahead, Michigan.
Listen, you guys, I don't know, you know, where you guys have studied your social sciences, but listen, where is this seat that the blacks are not sitting at? Where's this table? What's the address? Where's this table? Yeah, where's this table that you're saying blacks are not sitting at?
Let me tell you where mine is. Mine is a couple restaurants at 8 o'clock. Hey, Jeff, mine is a couple restaurants locally at about 6 o'clock in the morning.
Exactly.
Michigan, you may not know where your I know what table it is.
Do you think you're the first black to sit around and sip tea with European men?
We're not talking about sipping tea. We ain't talking about drinking coffee. I'm talking.
You're the first black to know a Rotary Club.
You are so far fetched. This ain't Rotary.
You missed my point.
I said six o'clock in the morning at some restaurant or some clubhouse or some coffee house. I didn't say no organization. I said there's a restaurant somewhere where at 6 o'clock in the morning where people are meeting and they're discussing the works of the day. Don't get it twisted. And I'm not sitting at that table.
Show us that plan. Show us where that has materialized in Ohio. Show it to me. These early morning meetings that are so successful, show me where that has materialized into black economics
It's materialized this. There are no powerful African Americans in business, I mean in government, in Ohio.
That's where it materializes.
You know why? Because they're not at the table.
Jeffrey, your speaker is bad. You got to talk in the mic.
Yeah, I had my phone on, so Cheryl can hear too.
I'm just saying, Jeff, you seem to be a better studier of history than Tracy. You guys are not saying anything new, man, wiggling around this European politics. We've been doing that. I mean, this is not new.
Michigan, this is the problem. The problem is this. When they stopped me, they used to pull me over a lot. They still kind of pick with me at times, but when they used to pull me over on my way home and ask me where I lived and did I know where it was, I got sick of that, and I stopped it. Every time they stopped me for something, I went to court. I didn't sit there and let them stop me anymore. I took it to court when they gave me tickets, said I was speeding when they were lying, because they didn't know why the black man was going out to the suburbs, and there was only two of us that lived in this one particular suburb. See, I stopped it, and the thing is,
the problem is not you stopped it because you knew how to make it stop. The problem is we have people who don't educate people on how to make it stop. They don't know how. So they don't even go to their kids' football games in the suburbs because they don't want to drive through that city.
But they won't listen to you when you tell them how to stop it, though, Tracy. That's the problem.
That's true.
They're doing the stupid stuff like what you see going on right now, tearing up their own neighborhoods, allowing these people to come in from outside and do the looting and everything. Now you look stupid in the eyes of the world, and guess what? They ain't studying you.
It's not like we just started looking stupid, Jeff.
Oh, I agree. But why continue this, Michigan? Why would you do this?
It's insanity. We're doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results.
It's time to pull our pants up and tie our shoes, tighten our belts, and start walking and doing stuff. You have to take over your area. You can't not take it over.
Let me tell you something, Jeff. That's very poetic. I've sat on the city council, and in most black communities, just listen, man, in most black communities where they're the majority, normally the county seat is normally Republican. Now we can go do the research, man. I said the county seat, meaning the county is ran by Republicans.
Not far away, my friend.
Not one. Not very many. Let's just put it that way.
Where, in Ohio? In Ohio?
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Okay. It's strictly Democrat up here.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now, okay. But see, this is where the party, I'm trying to be nice, it goes to the side. You, when you're talking about battling for resources, man, once you get up the chain of command from the local level to the county level to the state level, there's no difference between Democrats and Republicans from this perspective. Everybody's vying for resources, man. See, I've sat on the seat and saw the battle from the local level to the county level. If you're able to wiggle past the county level, then they'll stop you at the state level. I'm telling you what I've done, not conjecture, man. None of you. So this is the inside of the machine I'm telling you about. So when you say we need to pull ourselves up by our own pants and this and that, that's hyperbole talk. Be specific.
Okay, I'll be specific.
Specifics of what they need to do. You need to come out of the political system. You see, I'm giving you.
I agree with you.
Hey, Jeff,
listen to me.
I can be specific. I can say this. There's nothing good that's going to come out of something that's based in hate. I don't care if it's white folks hating black folks or black folks hating white folks. You can blame them for what they do if they do it exactly directly to you. I get so tired of hearing about how the system is stacked against us when we do some stupid stuff down that I'm seeing right there in Ferguson. Instead of coming together and doing something proactively, we are reacting and making a bigger mess. At
dude,
some point,
dude,
we better accept our responsibility for our own actions. Period.
Dude, you've been reacting since we got off the boat, man. What are you talking about?
Can I say something?
I've been since I got off the boat.
Jeff can answer that for you. If you don't understand that, maybe
Jeff
can explain. We've been reacting since we were brought here, dude. What do you mean?
Listen to this. When they were asked down in Ferguson what they wanted, the protesters, do you know what they all came to the conclusion of that they wanted?
What they said?
They wanted the policemen arrested and charged. They wanted the doggone police chief fired. And then just this third one, they wanted jobs.
Yeah.
Now, listen to me. That's pitiful, backwards, not thinking.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
They have been conditioned to think that way.
Yeah.
Who's
going
to give you a job and
you can't control
your behind enough to keep your neighborhood safe from some rioters after a terrible incident?
Hold on, but listen, would you like
that get rapper in his bag? I mean, come on, really?
Listen. The inability of African people in America not to know that you start with entrepreneurship is not Democrat or Republican. That's just a result.
Try to find it simple. 945-5222-5229. And you're listening to Tracy and Friends.
Wow.
Right.
That's a young Kenny Rogers.
It was done 35 years ago. What do you want? 30 years ago, it was 2005? It was 1885. That's before you got a safe letter.
On the controller.
The number is 347-945-5229. I've got a call coming in. 330-314, your mic is on.
Good morning, everybody. This is Jimmy.
Good morning, Jimmy. How are you?
I'd like to say hello to everybody. And, Tracy, you have a fabulous group that joins you pretty much every morning, and it's a pleasure to speak to you. And we have met before. You know who I am.
Yes.
Having said all that, I call just to add a little bit from the police perspective, and maybe either generate some discussion or clear up a couple of things. Let me just say that as police officers, we are trained to stop the threat. When we arrive somewhere, philosophically, go or engage the public, or good or bad, with the idea that we're going to kill somebody, I can tell you we have the same emotions that everybody else does. As we arrive on the call, there's always anxiety. There's always adrenaline. There's always confusion, and oftentimes we'll get a call from our dispatch, go here, this is what we think is going on, this person's calling with this problem or that problem. The officer in Ferguson responded to a call from his dispatch. I don't know all the details, as no one does yet until the entire investigation is finished, but he responded to a call. He arrives, things are going on, and here again, I'm saying no one knows all the details. We've heard that there was gunshots in the car. I don't know that yet. Having said all that, I can tell you if he fired, it was because he felt threatened, seriously threatened, and we're all taught to be careful. The police are few and far between. We can't afford to lose them. We've lost a lot of police officers this year, last year, or the year before, and for a variety of reasons. But pulling a weapon is not an easy thing for any police officer to do. We're trained to do it. We're trained to make split-second decisions. We're not trained to kill. We are trained to stop, and that means multiple shots if necessary. If a threat continues, you keep firing. If we're also trained, many of us, I won't say everybody in the country, but many of us are trained, if center mass shots do not stop the person or stop the threat, we're trained to take a headshot as well, if you fear for your life. And that's the key here. No one knows what was in the mind of the young person that got shot. No one knows what's in the mind of the officer who fired those rounds. I can tell you, I don't know any officers that relish pulling their guns out and shooting somebody. There may be some, don't get me wrong, but I've never met any, and I know hundreds of police officers. Nor is it done without thought, nor is it done without adrenaline and anxiety, and we go into survival mode at that point. And things happen very fast. It's real easy to see after something's over, well, you could have done that, you should have done this, why didn't you do that? But in the end, it comes down to what that officer has to do to protect himself first, for his own life, his own family, and based on what he perceives as a threat, first to himself, then to the community. And he does have a responsibility to act in the community's interest as well. Here again, we hear this, we hear that, so we don't have all the evidence in front of us, but it will come out. It obviously turns out that this was not the way it first was depicted. I don't want to go into a philosophy of why the riots occurred just yet or not, or why people in high places decided to stick their nose in it. I don't know that it would have been different. Were color not involved or not? No one knows that. What we know are the facts that have happened in the subsequent riots, and we'll be debating that for some time. But I did want to give you the perspective. When officers
of an officer.
And most civilians who are trained in concealed carry, and I'm involved in helping concealed carry classes, we teach our people stop the threat first, but you keep firing until that threat is stopped. Someone brought up earlier that it oftentimes takes more than one round to stop a person, and it's not like in the movies that came up before. You're correct. One round sometimes does not do the job. And there's a lot of emotion. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of adrenaline. There's tunnel vision when these things happen. And it's difficult to second-guess what that situation is. But if I had to bet the money in my pocket, I would tell you the officer did not pull up to that encounter thinking he was going to have to shoot somebody that day. So whatever happened, it'll be recreated as best as possible from the evidence that we can gather, and then that'll be reviewed by the Internal Affairs Division and their shooting boards. But
hey,
for
Jimmy,
now,
I have a question.
I got a question for you.
And I said this, and since you're on, we have bad police people. We do. There's some bad ones. But
there are very few.
But even they may harass you, and I can see, you know what I mean. They may profile you. But it takes a lot to pull that gun and shoot it at somebody just because I want to. Am I correct about that?
You are 99.999% correct. An officer, a well-trained, and most of them are fairly well-trained, most of us are, will not just initiate a traffic stop and pull his gun out immediately. They, from the minute they decide to stop a car, whatever the reasons are, and they have to have probable cause to do it, whatever those reasons are, things can escalate or de-escalate based on what's going on with the car, with the person in the car, or the passengers in the car, and the ability of the people in the car to follow the orders of the officer. At that point, if an officer stops an individual, he's got a question in his mind he's trying to solve. There are some bad officers, but a very few, Tracy.
I worked over in Warren, and there were some bad officers. They liked me, but they didn't like people that looked like me. He was a good guy, bad guy, but it is what it is, and he was hot headed. It takes a lot, doesn't it?
It takes a lot, and I'm not saying that there are bad officers in Warren. I know many of them.
No.
They're good
no.
guys. They got a tough job. The sheriff's deputies are excellent. They know what they're doing. Nobody wants to go to a call and have to pull out a gun and do something. Nobody wants to do that. But we are trained to escalate or de-escalate based on what we see and what we perceive. And to second guess what happened in the Ferguson case right now is premature. And I would tell you as well, I followed the Rodney King thing long ago. Those officers may have used excessive force at some point, but the initial contact was valid in that he was not following their commands or was kept trying to get up. But I don't want to bring up the Rodney King thing because eventually – it seemed to get out of hand. But as the officers described what was going on in court, initially they were found justified in what they did, and that's what started the riots there. Nonetheless, can things escalate? You're darn tootin' they can escalate. But not, there's no need for things to escalate. If you get stopped, I would tell you just do what the police officer asks, no matter what color you are, and they'll proceed from there. But no officer that I know, and I know many, willy-nilly just pull their guns and wave them at people without a reason. And I just wanted to add those 2 cents. There may be some bad ones, and we may have them. By and large, especially the officers in our area, the vast majority of them are excellent officers.
Yeah.
And I can't speak for Missouri, but this guy was a 6-year veteran with based on what we're hearing again, with no negativity in his personnel file. And I can guarantee you he didn't start off his shift that day thinking he was going to go out and shoot someone.
Eric, your mic's on.
So, Tracy, I appreciate the call.
Thank you, Jimmy. I appreciate that.
And
I appreciate
I'm going to go back
that.
To the radio. I'm in the middle of heavy traffic here. And
okay.
I got to be careful. Take
all
care,
right,
everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks
thank
for
you
the
a lot.
Conversation.
Thank
Take
you.
Care.
Eric, your mic is on. Jeff, your mic is on. Matt, your mic is on. And so is yours, Michigan.
Tracy, can I just back up one thing that he said?
Yeah.
And then I got to get off the phone. You know, with social media, you tend to see a lot of these videos going around of police brutality and things of that nature. I've seen them, hundreds of them. And he said one thing that's very poignant and correct. I haven't seen one of those videos yet, and granted, the officers do tend to go overboard, just like with the Rodney King, but I haven't seen one of those where the person who was being arrested wasn't fighting the officer in some way, shape, or form, either saying, get your hands off me, or fighting back physically or whatever. They weren't obeying the original commands of the police. I haven't seen one video where it's been that case. They're always fighting in some way, shape, or form, and he's right. Literally, and I understand that people want to say, hey, my rights are being taken away, you're infringing on me, and I get that. There's a better way to go about getting justice for what's happening to you at that time. Obey the officer's commands and take it to court.
But see, this is, let me ask you this, and I want everybody to chime in on this, because when I say bad officers, as I said, I've seen them harass people. People harass people. They do. Let me say this just to the Warren Department. I am not putting any disparaging thing on the Warren Police Department, because both officers that I knew, they're no longer there based on their behavior.
Okay.
So, neither one of them are there.
So the system does work.
But it took a long time for it. It took a long time to wash the system, but it did cleanse itself. So he's no longer there. But my question is, harassment is one thing. Pulling a gun on somebody is a whole nother. He's right. It is a whole nother world. That takes a lot.
Oh yeah.
Because just by the paperwork alone, but then when I think Michigan alluded to this, and the last couple of days, I don't think there is any case where you see a black officer that has shot a white man across the country.
Well, Tracy, let me add something to that. If you listen to the logic of the guys who are talking, with the population of Europeans and the population of Africans in America, if their logic is true, you should have the same percentage with the argument of, oh, it was his adrenaline, oh, it was this, oh, it was that. You should be able to show the same number of cases pro-ratio where white police officers are killing unarmed white men. Go find me that list.
I can find you quite a few.
No.
Yeah, Jeff.
No,
Hold on, Michigan. Let me finish. Wait, Jeff, what was the number? What are you saying?
Yeah, the statistic of white men being killed by police officers is probably about 25% of that, which is blacks being killed by that. I just heard that statistic yesterday coming out of Atlanta. And I said 25% of whatever. I don't know the exact number. But the thing is it's happening. It's a social problem. But understand something, Michigan. We still came here under stressful situations, and we still had to be kept in line by those that wanted to keep us in a subservient position. And we were taught that we were animals and less than this and less than that. Well, now when the behavior matches that, it's easy to prove, and so therefore, this guy has a very good chance of walking, and the people are going to be totally ticked off about it. But if he walks, it's going to be very justified. And like I'm telling you, these questions aren't totally in yet, according to that autopsy.
Hold on, Jeff. Let me say this, because I got to get off the phone. I've got to get off the radio in about 5 minutes,
yeah,
and I'll let you guys continue the conversation. You've been listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM. I have major problem with this, because there is the possibility that this might be a justified shoot. And it can happen. I mean, and my question is, if we didn't do anything about Zimmerman, and we found out that Zimmerman was crazy, and we didn't change anything with Rodney King, we still haven't learned how to organize, and all these organizational efforts, they can only mobilize you for voting, but they can't mobilize you for education and for protest so that you can change that which you do not like. I just want to walk through this. If you can't do all that and they're not doing all this, then tell me, why are we doing anything? Because at the end of the day, I mean, we got mad because officers of the Rodney King, the first case, they were vindicated. They had to bring them to a federal case for them to get for anything to happen. So my question is, when do we become educated, proactive, so that we don't burn down our own communities, that we so we don't have civil unrest, but we get what we need through the process in which we live?
You know, Tracy, I think my question is the only time that I see protests or riots like this is when something happens. In between, I never see people marching on their city halls, on their, you know, to the National Mall to, and it doesn't matter who's in office. It doesn't matter Democrat, Republican. They should be marching and protesting and making change in between these events. And you don't see that. You only see this kind of thing happen when there's a major issue like what's happening in Ferguson.
Matt, I can't get them to a city. I can't get them to a city council meeting and or a school board meeting when it's all their children.
Now,
that's a very poignant question.
I think that the main thing that's the worst is I feel horribly for Mr. Brown because no matter which way this goes, the kid's a victim, and he's a victim of what society has allowed the path that it's allowed this country to go down, and he's a victim of what society has allowed. Either way it goes, the man's a victim. It's a kid. He's 18 years old, and he's dead.
If he had been brought up within in a different structure, it may be come out a different way. Listen, I'm gone for the day.
Yeah.
Wow, she disappeared awfully quick.
We still got to stop giving these people the opportunity by the fact that he walked in that store and did what he did.
That's some of the craziest comments, man.
Yeah.
For the life of me, I can't get into Tracy's head. Jeff and the South Carolina, man, you guys, I mean, you're the premier definition of the black Anglo-Saxons. I mean, it defines you to the T. To have the world, what you say, bro? What you say?
I don't know who was talking, but I'll say this. Nobody knows black Anglo-Saxon. You know, you don't have a leg to stand up.
A spot on match.
Right.
Your worldview is a spot on match to a European worldview. That's what that means.
I don't even see how you say that. My whole thing has been for us to keep separate from the situation and not be in it like that.
Your pathology comes in on the not the front side. But see, what you do is you are so headlong into thinking that European culture is universal culture that you're under this illusion that it's something blacks are doing wrong in the process of being in contact with Europeans.
There is something wrong with that.
Okay.
There is something wrong. If you were going to do something that was going to make a difference, you should go shut down City Hall. Don't let nobody come. Don't let the police cars come in and out of the police department by sitting down in the middle of the hallway and make them arrest you for that. Don't show up there. You start looting these doggone stores and stuff that don't belong to you, and then you're going to be pissed off calling black pastors and they're talking about the grocers and racists. They don't want to locate in our neighborhood.
No, that particular point right there is not you. We're talking about your worldview. Now, listen, first of all, newsflash, man, these are not black people. You guys keep saying they're burning down their own communities. These are not their communities. And if I press you to prove it, what would be your proof that it's their community just because they live there?
Well,
the infrastructure.
Exactly.
What if infrastructure of a geopolitical place determined who it is?
Dude.
Example,
you know what?
What? The business? What?
You've been sitting up and learning too much daggone theory. You need to go out and do some practical application. You're talking about theory, man.
You don't know anything about
theory. Yeah, all you want to do is sit here and talk theory.
Hey, I bet you I employ more blacks than you. I bet money I've employed more blacks than you. Not who you work
you
for.
Bet you
personally.
Have or do?
I bet you that I have and I do currently. You see, so you don't know me. You don't. First of all, you don't know.
I know what you're saying, but what I'm hearing is a bunch of theory, no practical application.
No, this is. I'm correctly assessing our situation. What do you mean?
Okay, no problem.
And let me hear
Michigan.
Explain to me how these are black communities, how these black people own these communities. You explain that to me, how they own them.
Well, you own the community that you live in that sense. And let me put it like this. A dog will go to the bathroom a little ways from where he lays down at. He don't wallow in his own mess unless he's on a chain. Okay, so a dog knows not to doodle in his own neighborhood. And my point is, his neighborhood is where he finds himself. And now, if we find ourselves in the inner cities of America, then right then and there, that's our domain. I have long since not believed in that, because I said, folks ought to be moving out buying property all over the place so that they can enrich themselves. That's my thing, because property, God only made so much of it, so therefore it's going to be worth something down the line. So when I build a house, I did not build in the inner city of Youngstown, Ohio. Guess what? So my domain is where my domain is. I got a home somewhere in Michigan, so I can't deny that I live in America. So I make the best of where I am. If I get stranded on Mars, I will make the best of Mars.
Well, I understand that.
So that's my point. I don't have a European worldview. I have a Dominion worldview. I want control of things. I'm sick of not having control.
Okay,
that's where I'm at.
But, yeah, just from listening to you, brother, I already know you know what it is that black folk trying to, now whether or not you can say that and still keep your stature in the community is another thing. But you know that what it is that black folk are really after, they will never have in America. You know that, Jeff. Now whether or not you will agree to that on this phone, it is two different things.
I disagree with that.
Okay.
The reason why is because things are changing. And the dynamics are changing.
Yeah, let me do that. This is unsweet.
Sounds just not sweet enough.
Oh, it ain't? This supposed to be sweet?
Female said something?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Let me some sweet.
Yo, anyway, that's what I say, man. You know,
I think that.
Well, let's wait on all of the evidence. See, this is what I'm saying, the difference in worldview.
Do y'all hear me?
At this, okay. At this particular point, that's like saying, you know, wait on the evidence. A mass incarceration is not being socially engineered by a group of people. The evidence is not in. You understand what I'm saying? That's what you hear from the Europeans. Oh, let's just wait on all the evidence. The statistics are in, man. What do you? The value of black life is not the same for Europeans.
Absolutely.
So why would we disarm our people by not telling them the cold truth?
Because you
can't. Why would you disarm them, Jeff, and say, oh, it's because y'all are Democrats, when you know that's not the case?
Oh, wait, say that again. What am I saying?
Why would you disarm the people and say, look, this is what you are to this culture. Because you're this to this culture, then you should move accordingly. Why would you disarm them
by running them into saying, oh, the only reason this is like this because you're being controlled by Democrats.
No, listen. It's not because you're controlled by Democrats. It's because you're stupid enough to be controlled by Democrats. Because they are using you for their purposes in the first place. They're
you don't think black people
know,
Michigan. You don't think black people know that, man.
No, I don't think they know. In fact, I know they don't know it. That's why they do stupid things and they end up like they are right now.
That's where we're at right now.
Let me ask you this question, Jeff. Yeah.
If right now the Democrats, from a national perspective, now we're not talking about whether or not food stamps are good or bad, but if from a national structure, if Democrats said, hey, we want to do away with food stamps and EBT and Section 8, and the Republicans took up the mantle and said, we want to leave that in place. You don't think, and they knew for a fact that they could do it. You don't think they would switch to start voting Republican?
Of course they would, Jeff.
Blacks need to be Republicans.
Listen, this is a conflict, isn't it? But my point is this. We need to be independent of the system, period.
Well, I agree with that. I was just showing your point.
You understand? Because neither one of them have a black view for me. They don't say nothing about what I feel, what I know, what I've experienced. Nobody does. So nobody's coming to get me, and I'm a fool to sit there and wait and think that if I vote for one, they're going to come and change my way. I better work this system. We're not working it. We're being stupid and letting them work us.
Jeff, can I interject something?
Yes, sir, please.
Look, this is the thing. I do think that the Democrat Party, the problem I have with blacks being Democrats, I'm conservative. I have a problem. I agree with most of what Michigan says, but in this point, I do feel like the idea of having us sit and say, whenever Democrats come and speak up for us, they always address the lowest denominator. Like, what about food stamps, unemployment, welfare, WIC, you know, all these different – I'm like, no, I want pro-business policies. I want lower taxes. Let's look at reparations. Let's look at, you know, stuff. They don't talk about that. They don't talk about the ceiling. They talk about the floor. That's Democrats. They come and talk about the floor. And so I have a problem with that in that regard with black people and their marriage to being Democrats. Because if what Michigan is saying is true, and I believe he believes it, then we should really have a problem with them being married and believing them, because I honestly believe a lot of people do think like that. A lot of black people they actually will sit and debate you as to why worrying about unemployment and food stamps and WIC and all that is better for black people than maybe lower tax rates or something. You know, black people, we just don't think like that.
Alabama. When you consider where the majority of black people are, that's the most intelligent answer. Okay, Wait a minute. See, don't run with that. That's the most intelligent. I said, considering where they are, that's the most intelligent answer. Now, when you say lower taxes, okay, if you have a black business class, then they would understand that language. You understand what I'm saying? So if you had the correct mix of entrepreneurship in the black community, then the agenda that you would hear rolling off the lips of blacks would be different. That's why I keep telling you guys, you're saying you got a community. If you have a community, then you have those organizational structures via business. You can point me to their agenda. Via education, you can point me to their agenda. And via the protections, you can point me to their agenda. Now, none of those exist, man. So where's this intelligent black class that you guys are saying we should have? Where is it at?
Sitting right here on the phone.
Well, my problem is, hold on, my problem also is that I do agree with Michigan. Most black people are at a certain thing. They don't even have the mindset, though. That's the problem. They're not even because whenever they do talk about politics, worry about food stamps. Any black guy that runs,
that the first thing the reporters do is say, okay, what do you think about food stamps? What do you think about welfare? They always do that instead of saying, well, what do you think about promoting black businesses? That's not even in our mindset. Our mindset, if we think of something to being positive, all we think about is a job. Hey, get a job. Like, that's step B. You trying to get to Z. We worry about is we get to step B and think we there. So
absolutely.
We need to break free of this whole job mindset and start thinking. We don't have that mindset. We don't.
But this is what I agree with that, but this is what you got. This is the answer that you got. You are correct. But a person don't wake up, man, or born with the zeal and the drive or the information to be an entrepreneur or the knowledge that you need a certain amount of entrepreneurs when you say you're going to start. They're not born with that, man. That's taught. You have to have a culture in place that teaches that. It's almost like you guys want to beat black folk over the side of the head for not having some knowledge that it sounds like you said they should have been born with.
Let me interject.
Okay.
You, they built the pyramids years ago. We can't build them now, right?
You were talking about a functional culture. You're talking about a functional culture.
Just walk with me, Michigan.
Okay.
Walk with me. Walk with me. We can't build them now, can we? Well, evidently at one time, we had the knowledge to do it. But we can't do it now. What happened? When, at one time in this nation, my father was okay. You don't have to hurry for nothing. They're not doing anything. And what I'm saying to you is when my father came up, we had every single black business represented everywhere. We had lawyers, doctors. We had all the people that you needed to have to do all types of different things. You didn't have any lack of black business. You had manufacturers on Black Wall Street. You still have black manufacturers now in the South primarily, but you don't have them being highlighted. That's because...
Yeah, I'm here. I don't know what happened to Jeff.
This is my point. They told the people they're going to take our programs, like early lunch and early breakfast. Now, what the hell? That's not my program. That's a program they use. That's not my program. It does not designate me as the black man. So don't tell me this bullshit. You understand? You hear what I'm saying? That's where I'm at with that. No, I am absolutely saying it's because of them. The reason why you're like you are, because you weren't like that before the 60s. This wasn't an existence. So
I think, Michigan.
You know what? One quick thing. Sorry, Alabama. We're going to take about a second. You think I'm the difference between the 60s and before that? You know, black folks didn't have a choice but to have a race-based consciousness because it was overt. They would flat-out tell you, niggas, we don't come in this business. Don't come in this bank. Don't come over here. So by default, you had blacks with a race-based consciousness about their politics and their money. That's the difference. Do you agree with that? They had no choice but to have a race-based and depend on
Michigan, I think what you're saying is actually deep. I actually watched Blacks Without Borders when I watched it. I think there can be people that think like Jeff, and there can be people that think like you, and they can synergistically work together for the betterment of black people, pan-Africanly, if that's the word.
Well, I would agree
across the globe.
I would agree. I can work with Jeff easily. I can work with Jeff.
That's what I'm saying. So I think we can't just, it's just like, to a certain extent, I wouldn't want every black person to think, okay, we can't be done here. Go to Africa. We talked about that last week where you can't just have everybody going to Africa because everybody
no, that'll never
mindset.
So,
So the ones that's over here, if they're thinking like Jeff and even like me, where I think a hybrid of both. I think, yeah, I want to do things in Africa as well as in America. Then
that's correct.
I think that will fix it. But we can't semantically go back and forth, because if we do, we'll split hairs and we actually might make enemies with somebody
that we might need. Okay, but Alabama, I guess here's a point, just for listening. Here's a point I'm trying to make. This
this is not a monopoly game. You know what I'm saying? This is not play money. This we're talking about, this is real life, meaning there is no do-overs. And so if one thing we should learn is that when you're going to make moves, they should be precise. What makes them precise is having a very good understanding of your historical perspective and experience. You can't afford to say, "Oh shit, we went into politics and we shouldn't have," and you lose 20 years and then talking about we're gonna make that 20 years up. It don't work like that, man. Ain't no do overs. And to me, if you don't direct people correctly, I'm saying you're setting them back again.
Well, that's why I disagree with Tracy. The civil rights movement was a damn set. It was, but and I disagree with Tracy. She thinks, well, we can go and affect the system politically. No, man, the people.
You crazy.
You playing against a guy that got millions of dollars, and you going in there thinking you're going to be on some city council.
It's not
going to
happen.
Because he'll get you out of there. Yeah.
Not only that, Alabama, he has more than one lever of control. He don't even have to stop you at the local level. He can stop you at a county level. If it doesn't work at the county level, he can stop you at the state level. If it doesn't
that's
work
what
at
I'm
the
saying.
State level,
it, to me, that don't make sense.
Right.
That to me, what it makes sense is get power, wealth, and influence.
Right, and
I'm going to
say,
go in there.
If he don't stop you at the political level, he'll stop you at the economic level with the money. If he don't stop you at the money level, then he in a position to kick your ass too. What do we?
Yeah, he in a position to blow your brains out if he wants to. You know what? You know what I just found out? You know that kid that got killed down here?
Tiff? We lost Tiff?
I don't know.
Yeah.
You know that kid that got killed down here in Atlanta that they found rolled up in that wrestling mat?
No, I didn't hear about that.
Black kid named Kendrick.
No, recently?
Say it again?
Recently?
Yeah, this was like about a year ago. Year and a half ago.
What happened?
They found this black kid rolled up in a mat, right? And I didn't know this, but this guy was talking about, he was just highlighting how a lot of people are having their organs taken. Like, if a kid is a match, blood type or something, these wealthy people that got $70, $80 million to go out here and have something happen to these people, and they'll take their organs, right? So this little boy, for no reason, turns up dead, and then the family heard about people taking people's organs, so they had him exhumed and did another autopsy. How about they done stuffed newspaper in there and took the boy along? Now, he didn't even have a driver's license. Took his lungs, took his heart, liver, kidneys, all that's gone.
Man.
And the city don't know nothing about it.
Yeah, they said
that's
they
what I'm talking about
it.
About wealthy. Wealthy
yep,
people
yep,
are like
yep.
apex predators, man. They like lions
yep.
out here.
Yep.
And we just gazelles. We just running.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yep.
When it comes to certain things, so I feel like you got to get your own weight up before you start
yep,
talking
yep.
about getting into
you
the political
it, yeah.
game.
Yeah, you can't, that's right. You can't. You got to be able to bring something to the table that they need or want. It's just that simple. If you don't control something that they need or want, you have no business at the table of power. And I would Tracy said, we not at the table. You don't have anything to bring to the table. If you think bringing a vote brings power to the – voting is the lowest form of political power.
Yeah. It is.
You got to bring a market.
Look
you
at this
bring
dude's power. Whoever got
resource.
This power, think about it. Whoever got this power, they actually got enough money to buy the city police off, the state, the county. I mean, it's like they're not getting
correct.
Nowhere.
Correct.
And this dude, and he didn't do it with a vote. He did it with money.
Correct. All the way up to the state level. They'll have that process jammed up for 20 years. The mother and father will be dead. They'll have it jammed
yeah.
up in court and procedures.
I mean,
and they'll be
boy,
dead
they just
by the
straight
time
killed him. They straight killed him. Don't nobody know what happened. The video been taken, the video footage. They won't give it to him. This dude, whoever he is that took this boy's organs, very powerful.
Yeah. I'm just saying, man, when I hear black folk like this issue in Ferguson, really, man, to me, black folks that have tunnel vision. Let's get to the bottom of this shooting. To me, conversations about who throwing big rocks, who throwing little rocks, whether or not they should have broke this window, man, that's Mickey Mouse.
Yeah.
That's Mickey Mouse shit, man.
It is.
Shit.
And then when the police came out there and protected, they let them stay up their own community. They just went out there to the white section.
Yeah, they get it. That's right.
Yeah, you go to that white section out there. It's like Fort Knox. Like you can't get nowhere near there.
Now that's foul.
But they're looking at the black guys.
The ones that they really want to get at, they can't get at.
Yeah.
That's where the show of force. That's a form of power.
Yeah, stay over here. Tell your own house.
Tell your
stuff up.
Right. If you come over here, we got something for you.
Yeah.
Right.
That's
the only way. The only way, you know, the other historical value, man, that you have to have in the equation. This is why you have to have reparations. It don't have to be in the form of, this is why you have to have the alibi. When you have to take into consideration how people organize and gain economic power. If you hadn't left, if you had left Wall Street and all those little black towns that blacks were building up, if you had left them alone, man, you would have black billionaires that could run parallel to Bill Gates now. I'm convinced of it. The statistics say you would have been.
Actually, more than that. Probably because one thing people fail to realize, we are very creative people. And if we had a system whereby economically we could get our hands on resources, man, look at what we did with hip hop. When we took hip hop from street corner to every genre of music, from country, has hip hop has been affected by hip hop. Man, what you think would have happened if we'd have did that and we had to fight against all the stuff we had to fight against?
Correct. And when you look at the rate that some of those blacks back then were expanding their businesses regionally, it's unparalleled when you look at some of the white franchises, their expansion rate.
Dude, what's his name? What's his name? Thomas Edison got a lot of invention from George Washington Carver.
Yeah.
A lot of his patents came from George Washington Carver. A lot of folks don't know that.
Yeah. See, so that's what I'm saying. You can't look at black folk now and say, you can't look at black folk now and cast a judgment. That's one thing you can't do. Or if you're going to cast a judgment, I think the only way you can cast the correct judgment is if you systematically put the entire history together and then draw your conclusion. But to say, like if you're just dealing with the issue of economics, to say why come black folk don't have any businesses now and that is your fault, you know, that you don't have any businesses now, you don't have no business infrastructure, man, that's just unfair.
That's the problem I have, that really affects Chicago when you talk about crime. And why is it that this kid had to walk in a gas station and strong arm this guy? Why couldn't he just buy them? He probably couldn't afford them. Why couldn't he afford them?
Correct.
Now you're looking at education, you're looking at money, economics.
It's all tied together. That's correct. Tied together. And see, that's what I'm saying, man. When you use social science, now the white culture is built off of it. They believe it just like they believe their blood. But when you use it with black folk, they don't want to hear it. Oh, man, you, that's theory. I mean, what are you talking about? When economics are in a place, the crime rate is low. I mean, that's when there's no economics, the crime rate is high.
Yeah.
That's not my opinion. This is what social scientists have studied for hundreds of years.
Yeah. And so right now what you really should see in the black community is politicians pushing for more businesses, more power, wealth, and
interest.
But you don't see that. You see them pushing for food stamps.
Really, they should. Two things, I think. I believe the black community is done. But I think you can still have a vanguard group who could interface with Africans around the globe. The vanguard group. I think it's two things that you can do in America to hope for having a vanguard group over the next 50 years. Concentrate totally on business development and independent education.
Yeah.
Just those two. You don't have to concentrate on anything else.
Yeah.
Independent education.
I wouldn't argue with that.
And business development.
That'll fix everything.
Yep.
That'll fix probably 95% of our problem.
Yep.
Everything can be traced back to economics. And I mean, yeah, you may have certain things going on, but.
Yeah, but you'll clean them up. You know how that go, man. A lot of that will be cleaned up by default. You know what I'm saying?
Even crimes that we don't even think, things that we don't even see as being related to economics will be cleaned up because of that.
It'll be cleaned up. That's correct. Some of the moral issues, right, the value issues.
All that mess.
That's right. That's right, because what will happen is you'll pull the black family back together. It'll clean that stuff up, man. Yep.
Yeah. When you see stuff like that, like guys walking around twisting and everything, come on, man. Something went wrong somewhere.
Yeah, that's great. You ain't kidding. It's a hot. Well, last time I was in Atlanta, Atlanta is like the San Francisco for black folk.
Yeah, they
a hot mess down there.
I don't even look guys in the face down here, man. You can't look no dude in the face.
Yeah,
no. I was in the summer, though, and this dude in there with his pants pulled all the way down, had his pants pulled, like, way down below his butt.
Yeah.
And we in the summer now. No drawers and just straight naked butt. But the pants on the front, when he was sitting down, looked like they was up. But when he stand up, they pulled down.
Man.
He's just as flaming as he could be.
Yeah. See? And that, you know, and really, that's going to get worse, too. All the aberrations, they're going to get worse. So, man.
We better know ourselves, though,
man.
We're
in bad shape. Huh?
Eventually, you can point to all the reasons you want to. Eventually, it's on you to step up for yourself.
That's true.
Like, you cannot.
That's true.
That's the problem I have. Like, me and my brother go back and forth and disagree. Because you think I make excuses for black people. I'm like, no, I said, but there's a reason black people are where they are.
Yeah.
You can't just say that. But then I turn around and I say, but black people have to be more self-responsible. You think I'm being, you know, like, no, you can't say that. It ain't their fault, remember? I'm like, no, I never said it wasn't their fault. I mean, it's their fault.
When you look at some of the stuff that black folk do, man, clearly they have a psychological problem. I mean, that's clear. I mean, there's no debate that they're suffering from something, you know. And to me, there ain't no magic pill, and then they're going to wake up tomorrow in their right mind. See, and that's the problem I have with people who ultimately want to say, I agree, you got to do it yourself, but there's no roadmap. Because, you know what I'm saying, just to say we're all going to wake up with the right consciousness, that shit ain't going to happen.
No, that's not going to happen, but let me ask you this. When you meet every white person out on the street, every Joe Blow, they're just a part of the system. They're not, you couldn't just take any white guy and build and orchestrate the system that you see now.
Correct.
So it takes one or two smart mastermind individuals to come in, and they may have flaws in their thinking, but they set it up, and then the next guy come along, and he set it up, then the next guy come along, and then, bam, that's what you got.
Boom. Yeah.
Because there was a time where they didn't have the stranglehold they got now. There was a time where black people, like you said, man, we could do some things. I mean, we really were up until 1890, man, 1865, 1890, them 25 years, man, black folks shot out like a rocket.
But you know what, man? You can't even blame them, because ultimately, this way, and I would do the same if I was in that position. I couldn't gamble the chance of allowing this African to reach a mass amount of power where he could kick my ass for the stuff that I've done to him. I wouldn't allow it either, man. You know what I'm saying? You think white folk gonna take that chance, man?
This is the problem I have. I gotta agree with you, but then think about it this way: who's to say you're gonna lose all your power? I mean, if blacks amass a certain amount of wealth and where they're able to financially get out here and compete and do things, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're gonna come back and the pendulum, they're gonna swing the pendulum all the way back. Because that means we will have to have lost the bulk of our power. And let's be honest, let's look at this country. I mean, These folks got, I mean, if we go from having a $5,000 net worth to like a $40,000 net worth and they still got 100, we're going to be way better than where we are now.
Well,
but we still won't be
spread out a little bit.
Yeah, at least then they'll be like, okay, well, you know what? We still got 100,000 or 80,000 or whatever, but they got 40. We still
But you see, you know, the reason you can't compare blacks with smaller groups like Jews is because ultimately what you're talking about, unless you're saying this wealth is going to come from a different pie, right? But if you're saying
the reason I'm saying that is because, like, look at the dot-com bubble. The dot-com, you know, 20 years ago didn't exist. Like, it was just in its fledgling state. So, but now you got a lot of millionaires around here that were created out of, basically out of thin air, out of the internet. So if some new form of, some new form of government, I mean, not government, but some new form of tech comes along whereby, and we marry ourselves to it.
Correct.
Like we do to dance and rap. Like, we've married ourselves to hip-hop because we created it.
Yeah.
We've married ourselves to basketball because we're the best at it. We married ourselves to football because we're the best at it. But we should marry ourselves to SQL Server databases like the Indians do, or marry ourselves to Oracle, the database system.
Some type of science, science.
Yeah, let's marry ourselves
science
to
technology.
Something. You black, everybody, they see you now. And you black, you playing basketball, they assume you already got a 40-inch vertical. They assume you got a 30. That's the best place to be when you're trying to play basketball. You're getting picked up for a team. And when you're trying to play in the game of life, and you're getting picked up for a sport, a business, a job interview, you come in with your suit and tie and you can talk the talk. You're going to get picked first. And in the long run, if you got the right mindset, when you come in the door, you thinking long term. Like, you thinking, man, I'm gonna compete against this company. So you coming in and you learning, you looking over his shoulder, you learning how to do everything you do, you learning the mistakes they're making, and then in 5 years you branching out on your own company. But at first, coming in the door, it's not that easy.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's my thing, man. I look at but some of the stuff. This with me and Trace, she done muted me a couple of times on that. That government thing. Like, she really believes that.
She always. Well, I mean, she muted me right after I speak before I could get the last word out. She muted my ass.
I talked to Jeff yesterday. Jeff was down here yesterday. I talked to him, and I told Jeff, man, I be talking to Michigan, man. Michigan, good people. He's like, yeah, man. He said, tell him, I ain't the one that be muting him, man. That be Tracy, man.
You saw Jeff?
Yeah, Jeff came down here yesterday. I went out and we ate in there. We got something to eat. He came down here. We went to Papa Do's.
Oh, that's cool, man. Yeah. What was he doing down there? Just business?
I think he went for a wedding or something. Came down here for a wedding.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's what's up.
So him and his daughter and his wife came down.
I got a niece up there when I shoot up that way. And my brother-in-law still up there. I'm going to contact you, man, so we can hook up.
Yep. But just hit him up, man, when you get down here, because, I don't do nothing but go out and go eat. I might go out, but I don't go out that much. You know what I'm saying? I just don't, because to me, especially the strip club, like, I done been in a strip club a couple of times. Them strippers, man, they a trip. Like, the last time I went to a strip club, me and my homeboy was there. So he had got a dance off one of the chicks. So this chick came over, put a hand on my shoulder, started taking off a little thong or whatever. Yeah, he told me to come over here and get naked, like that, laughing or whatever. Well, she danced about three songs. Something told me, go over there and ask him, did he ask that chick to come over there? I came, he said, man, I don't know that chick. I came over there. I just reached in my pocket, gave her 39. First of all, I wasn't attracted to her. I said, you know, she stopped dancing and started pouting, looking at me like I did her wrong, like she was mad at me. Like I did something to her.
Like you owed her something, yeah.
Yeah, man. No, snatched the money out of my hand, and I'm sitting like, dude, like, really?
Yeah, I was in D.C., and we went to a strip club, and I just threw $5 up there on the, and she told the DJ to stop the music, they turned on the lights and shit. Yeah, I know this nigga put $5. I rest up, so I said, oh, bitch, get back then. She said, where we from? That's all you, I mean. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, who are you?
Our society is so jacked up, man. Like, these females really run the black community. Like, black women run our community. They do.
Yeah, they do.
A black woman can do and say anything. Like, I know a guy right now, a chick just bought him a car, and he won't go get a job. All he do is, every time I call him, he let him tell it. He round another woman. I'm like, damn, man, you ain't got no job. You ain't worked in over a year. This chick gave you $10,000. You went and bought a damn car?
Yeah, see, that's when you should have been.
I said, man, if you're going to buy a car, buy you something cheap. And put your little trailer hitch on there and tow it around. At least you got and make it, buy your little trailer hitch and put, you know, start washing cars. At least then you're making some money. You ain't got to be bumming. You ain't got to be straight.
Yeah.
He called me wanting to get me
a little
ragged
ass piece of real estate. Buy a little piece of ragged ass real estate or something with that tin. Shit, I'd have kept catching the bus. I'd have bought a house with that shit.
I want to be like, dude, what you doing, man? If they get $10,000, I'm not going to go buy. If I do buy a car, it's cheap. It's so cheap, it ain't even funny.
Right.
And he claimed he done paid his tickets. Now, I can go in there on the internet and look and see if he paid his tickets, which I doubt he did. But he say he did. Thank you. All right. But that's the problem, though.
Yeah, I got a niece down there, man.
You do?
Yeah, she do have down there. She do have for some of them, a couple of them. Atlanta. I know she do have for one of them girls on Atlanta Housewives or some shit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, man, one thing I see about doing hair, a lot of sisters don't want to hear, you can make $2,000 a week easy doing hair. Like,
yeah.
People don't think like that, but these chicks, think about it, you getting $75 for a head,
right?
And you got three going at the same time, and you do that from the time you get there on that morning to the time you leave, you're doing all these heads, and you walk out, you made like $600 in a day.
Yeah.
You work Wednesday. It's like that Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You know, you're like, man. Time you
get out of here, man. Hey, how that new job coming for you?
Everything good, man. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. All right, man. I'm going to holler at you.
All right, bro. I'm heading back to work.
Yep.
All right.
Yep. Later.